Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than riding the bench.
Riding the bench?
Yeah, like if you're on a team, it sucks.
Oh, okay. I get you.
I speak from experience. Anyway, if you'd like to join in, the studio line is 845-986-8804, 845-986-8804. You can also go to the Davin's Den chat room on the Davin's Den page on davincomedy.com. It sure is a lot of Davins. I'm
Davin,
an egomaniac.
Davin.
I'm in 3D.
It's Davin-y Davin-ness.
It really should.
You know what you made me think of? I was there for my friend's house, and I don't play video games. But
I should probably introduce you before you get into this story.
Oh, all right.
That is the voice of the returning from illness, Pip Helix. I'm Davin Rosenblatt. That's the now healthy for hopefully a longer time, Pip Helix. We're going to put you in a bubble. But as you were saying.
No, seriously, I should live in a bubble.
A lot of people have requested that.
My coworkers do. I went to see my friend over the weekend, and her kids both play video games. And one of them is some game, I don't even know the name of it, because her little girl talks so fast, I have no idea what she's saying. I'm not sure it's English, but it's the only language she speaks, so I have to guess. And she's
Spanish.
I don't know.
The gardener's kid.
Right? No, I have no idea what's going on, but they're playing some game. Now, it's funny because the older boy sits in his room, she sits in her room, and they both have their laptops, and they play this game together and, like, have a little chat going on. Oh, you suck! I hate
you!
That's
what kids do.
I know, but they're in different rooms in the same house.
That's optimal! Like, I would love to do that with my wife. Like, you know what? We should probably watch the same show in different rooms on different TVs, and then we could just chat to each other.
Oh, then later you could have a conversation about what happened.
Oh, no, my wife drives me crazy with this.
What?
Well, and this is a very common thing. We'll be watching something. We turned it on at the same time. Mm-hmm. We're watching the exact same thing at the same time, and she'll turn to me and ask me a question that clearly has not been explained yet. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, because I got to stop and I got to hit pause and just give her the look like, really? You're watching the same thing I am. How do I know? This isn't CSI. I'm not a super sleuth. I don't know.
Well, sometimes I think I'm the, you know, like movie impaired, because I'll watch and everybody else seems to be getting why they made that meaningful look. And I'm like, why is he mad at him? Well, don't you understand that he's the one that stole the secret formula? That's the one who stole the secret formula? It's like, oh, you've been sitting here watching it with me. I don't get it.
There's a lot of times I'm watching something like, I don't get this, and then I just feel like I'm 80. And I'm working the self-checkout line at the supermarket, and I'm like, just don't.
Oh, really? You don't understand sometimes?
No, well, yeah, when I'm watching something,
right.
I understand the self-checkout line. But you know, like, how they get confused. This ATM, what's it want from me?
I'm
watching stuff, and I get confused. But my wife now, all the time. I get it. And this she also did too. I started Game of Thrones. I just finished season one. I know. I'm behind.
No, I haven't seen any of it.
So I just started watching it last week. I figured, all right, this will be something I watch on my own.
Yeah.
Wife comes in like halfway through the first episode of season one. Now she's watching. I'm like, what? This is going to be something we're both going to watch? Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? I can't have anything.
Like. Can I have a show that's just for me?
Which I like watching TV with her,
yeah.
But then she wasn't into it. I could watch it on my own schedule.
Now I'm going to miss an episode if you watch it by yourself.
Well, no, right? It's not that I got to wait because it's all on the DVR. Like, we're watching Celebrity Apprentice and we DVR it.
Right.
But we don't watch it the same day. So like a day like today on Tuesday, I go on Yahoo, or yesterday I go on Yahoo, and it trends, he's fired. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. So like spoilers everywhere.
Exactly.
Oh, I know. There's this really silly show that I kind of like. It's called Awkward. It's on MTV, and it's really made for teenagers.
You watch a lot of MTV for somebody your age.
Do I?
Unless you're like a predator, yeah. And you might be. You might be a predator.
Yeah. But I'm after young girls.
Are you still, like, watching Real World, like, season 39?
No, I don't watch Real World. No, I stopped watching those years ago.
You got me into catfishing. Before that, I was into Jersey Shore. Yeah. I watched Snooki and JWoww. So I really can't say too much. But okay. You watch shows that aren't even popular.
Awkward? That's popular.
Is it?
Yeah, it's one of those ones that they take a big break while they're make go off to make the show, and then you have to wait for the season premiere. Do you remember when we were kids and you used to be so excited because in September all the new shows were coming on?
Yeah, CBS, I think, did that to me with V. Remember V? They brought back V a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So I got reinvested in it. Done. There's no answers. There's no payoff.
Yeah,
it's not coming back. That's why I don't get involved in these shows traditionally.
There are some shows that people, well, I mean, Dances with the Stars. My girlfriend at work is so excited about it. And thank God there's somebody else at work who likes it as much as she does.
So you don't have to talk to her about it.
I know. She's desperate to talk to me about it. And I'm like, I won't watch that. No. But my point about Awkward was it comes back on tonight. I don't have anything to record it with, you know, because we're technologically challenged in the Helix house.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to just find out when the reruns are. Yeah, but I'm hooked. I'm hooked on this stupid show. I actually care about the characters. Help me. Oh, help me. But that's the thing, is that when they go off like Walking Dead, we're both addicted to it.
Well, that's what it is. You get so invested in the stuff.
Walking Dead is the only program that Mr. Helix and I watch together, like appointment television, that we both gather with snacks in front of the TV and wait. That's the only show.
Yeah, I mean, people think that, you know, we should be doing quality time, like playing Scrabble or something together or having sex.
I'm overrated.
If there's quality programming on.
Now we're talking.
I mean, and you can't have sex during quality programming.
You know what? No, you're not going to, I don't feel, you know, moved during the middle of the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. There are other shows that maybe might do it, but no. It's not one of those ones that makes you all hot and bothered.
I heard there was not a big payoff at the season this year. I don't know anything about the show.
Yeah.
I've never watched an episode. That's just what I heard.
Well, a big character was gone, and
I mean, the show came out Sunday. You can tell people what happened.
Yeah, I know, but you don't know who those...
Oh, okay. You're doing it for my sake.
For your benefit.
I appreciate it. I thought you were being kind to the listeners.
No, I mean...
And I certainly wouldn't want you to do that.
Spoiler alert for Walking Dead. A major character dies, and some people were really irritated by the way she died because one of the things that you're supposed to do when the monster's in the house is run. If the monster is locked in the room with you, you're supposed to grab the tool that will set you free from your bonds so that you can
Are we talking about a show?
Yes.
Or a video game?
No, this is the show.
Sounds like a show.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying in general, these are rules. But she was taking her sweet time talking to this guy that was about to turn into a zombie instead of freeing herself from the chair so she could defend herself. So she got bit and she died. Yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah, very sad. So that was the end of that. Which was a pretty big payoff, but the bad guy got away and you don't know where he is. So it's sort of a cliffhanger for next season. The only thing that's good about this is that it's so popular, you know there will be a next season.
Right.
So it won't be like, I don't know who shot JR! Ah! You know, those shows that end without answering their big questions. Excuse me.
Feel free to choke.
I'm choking. I'm choking you. They're infuriating. I don't know what, I didn't watch that show Lost. Did you get into that?
No, but my wife went to school with one of the writers of that.
Get out.
Yeah, she knows people that can't do anything for me, too.
Awesome. Yeah, we seem to have tons of that. But I didn't get involved in that, but I understand from people who did.
Why don't you take a beverage? You're like choking like it's a big cup.
I am. Well,
take it like a pro.
I'm trying. Yeah. Oh, I've got tears in my eyes.
You are a team player. You're trying to work through this.
And I needed to swallow.
Words to live by. Should put that on your really license plate.
No. It's embroidered on a pillow on the couch.
I don't want to sit on that pillow.
Nobody does.
No.
Well, Mr. Helix has a habit of walking in at the last 5 minutes of shows when they're about to reveal who was the bad guy or there's some kind of, you'll pardon the expression, climax.
Mm-hmm.
And asks me questions about our domestic life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you pay that bill? Or did the landscaper... Oh, no, not now. I mean, you'd think that I was attached to the television 24/7. I'm not. But he happens to walk up just at those pivotal moments and ask me questions. And I hate saying, no, I'm a zombie watching television. Go away from me. But it's like, could you ask me in 10 minutes?
No, there's no consideration.
It's like, just...
But, you know, we do have pause buttons.
I don't want... No, I don't. I don't have a DVR. Or whatever that is. TiVo.
You
got to
get one.
I guess so, because inevitably, Mr. Hillix is going to come up at 5 minutes... 10 or 5 minutes of the hour and ask me pertinent questions. And I'm like, look, I've put 50 or 55 minutes into this show. Can I just find out who the bad guy was? Ah.
Marriage problems. I guess we should talk about, like,
minor ones.
Now that we've, like, speaking of, like, invested time, I guess we should tell people what's on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Because we totally didn't do that.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? It's a lot of yapping.
All right. You just
and
told
more.
Everybody what's on this show. Oh, we've got things to cover tonight. Show, we're going to be talking about the Rutgers basketball scandal.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to be doing comics in the news. Jon Stewart, there's Egypt wants him arrested, and they want us to send him right over. I'm sure we'll send our Jewish comedian right over to Egypt.
Yes.
Right.
Next plan.
And we're also going to have, I'm very excited about this, an interview with comedian and filmmaker Bonnie McFarlane. She just made the award-winning documentary Women Aren't Funny.
I can't wait to hear this.
So, I'm looking forward to that. A little bit of show news. Coming in May, we're going to be on a brand new station, Renegade Radio.
I love the name of this.
Renegade. Did you see what I posted? I'm like, well, don't. At first, I told people to like the page. I'm like, well, then don't like it because, you know.
Oh, yeah. You want to be
a renegade.
Be a renegade.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like things.
Exactly.
I'm a renegade.
I'm telling them, no, don't like the page. Don't like it at all. It's a complete mind.
We don't want listeners.
Exactly.
No.
But that is actually a new station run by our pals, Cluster Fuck Radio, who... Who are we going to be running that? What? That's the name of the show!
It is, isn't it?
That's the name of the show!
I know, I got confused with Clutch and Wiggle.
No. You're clutching, you're clustering, there's all sorts of things.
Yeah, I know. There's, like, a lot of clucking going on. And I looked at you like, is that right? I couldn't remember.
Yes. So we're excited about that. Also, some other stations are listening. So there might be other affiliates, although I'm getting, messages that the feed is staticky, and I'm trying to figure out, is this on our end? Because it sounds okay in my ears. I know there's, like, a low buzz.
Yeah, it sounds okay in my ears.
And I played back. Why am I explaining this to people? I'm trying to figure this shit out.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about our technical problems.
Well, let me just fluff my hair and adjust myself and say, hi, boys.
What is that about?
That's for the listeners. You know, new listeners. I'm trying to... Oh, look, I'll try anything. See if they're interested in...
Okay.
What was that about? I'm trying out for the UFO.
UFO? You'll be beamed right up. I think you've passed that test. You clearly are not of this world.
My mothership is right outside.
Yeah, and the neighbors are complaining, quite frankly.
I know. All the radiation. Sucks to be you.
Also, another piece of show news. I don't know how to categorize it, so I'll just say it's show news.
Okay.
I won't put an emotion behind it.
Okay, listeners can put their own emotion
behind
it.
Listeners can take from this whatever they want. Yesterday, Joe Curry left the show.
Yes.
It's not really a complete surprise, but it did catch us off guard.
Yeah.
To do a 3-hour radio show with all that life, you know, and the responsibilities that life has,
yes,
is not easy.
No, it's not.
And, you know, we've always strived to be innovative and original, and we're constantly trying to be as good as the best. And it's taxing. I'm not talking about the best on the internet.
Right.
I'm talking about the best.
On radio.
On radio, on series. That has always been the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I feel, and I know you agree, we owe it to the listener and our families who put up with all these sacrifices,
mm-hmm,
you know, free time, because we do sacrifice a lot of free time to put this crap together,
yes,
to make this happen. And ourselves, and we owe it to ourselves to try and be great.
Yes.
To do something mediocre and not put in the effort just really doesn't grab me. Because, you know, I'm a comic.
Yeah.
I can get on stage and berate people live all the time. But
you can get your yayas out every week.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like doing this is not a hobby for me.
Right.
It's at least that's the goal.
Yeah,
now it's categorized as hobby.
Well, yes.
But it's not
it's
the goal.
It's categorized by the IRS as a hobby at the moment.
And honestly, you know, whatever you think about the show, I mean, it does take hours of work to make this happen.
It does. It's a lot of stress if you've got a lot on your plate already.
Exactly.
It can be too much.
It's not easy. I mean, there are shortcuts we could take,
mm-hmm,
but we've just never really gone that route because, you know, up until recently, we all felt like, you know, that wasn't the way to go. eye on the big prize. We were all working to the same goal. But you know what, people, you know, like I said, life gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
People change.
Yeah.
Priorities change.
Things happen.
So, I mean, you and I are still on the same page. You know, we're going to continue to strive to be, to do as great radio as we can.
Yes.
I'm not actively looking to get a third person,
mm-hmm.
but if the right third person came along,
mm-hmm.
I would certainly welcome them in. And it doesn't even have to be a comedian. I just need somebody who's driven, motivated, and creative. I need somebody who has a passion to be great. That's what I need, and a mind that wants to try different things, and that'll push me to keep on creating. And be better and challenge me. That's what I'm looking for.
You're expecting to find some young comedian in a basket on your doorstep, aren't you?
No. No, but it's funny you mention young. I do think it would be beneficial if that person does happen to be younger than we are. If that person, just to bring a certain perspective.
It's not hard to be younger than me, but go ahead.
No, but I mean, no. But I mean, listen. I mean, you're the age you are. I'm a little bit younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be a terrible thing to have somebody younger than me.
To have just that perspective.
A different perspective.
Uh-huh.
A youthfulness about them, an exuberance. I mean, you know, we don't really act our age, you and I. But there is a certain passion that somebody has before the world can beat them down.
It's going to say before they've been beaten down.
But there is.
Yes,
but there
I know.
Is. And that's what if we are going to add somebody,
yes.
That's what I want.
Right.
I want somebody who's going to kick me in the butt. Who's going to make me, who I'm going to have to chase after to keep up with them.
Right, right.
That's what I'm looking for. As for Joe, clearly Joe has had many, numerous and important contributions to the den.
Absolutely.
And we wish him the best of luck in all of his future endeavors.
Yes, I hope he continues to lose 2 pounds a week.
Yeah, it's just not the same if we can't make him eat terrible things.
No, no. There's nobody to punish. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, so it seems to be on our end.
The hiss?
Yeah. So if you're, well, at least I'm getting this from one person.
Okay.
So if there's other people that there's a, no, he says like terribly staticky.
Oh, that's really weird.
Right.
I wonder what that's about, because everything's set up the way it always is.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Do you have any new snakes in here?
Do I have what?
Snakes.
No new snakes.
I was just wondering what the hissing might be.
I don't even know what I can do about this right now.
No, Trucker Tom checking in. He says he hears it too.
Is it terrible?
Is it terrible, Tom?
Is it terrible, Tom?
Tom, is it terrible? Terrible, Tom.
Let me see.
No, you're not terrible, Tom.
No.
I was thinking about you over the weekend, Tom, because
touch yourself.
I had to stop at a gas station that was right off the highway when I was out visiting my friend in Pennsylvania, and there were a whole bunch of trucks sitting there in the parking lot, and I was driving over to the edge of the parking lot because, well, this will sound weird.
I'm told it's, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm told
that's okay.
It's static.
It's static.
I don't even know.
He said it's noticeable, but not horribly bad.
It's noticeable, but not, that's kind of like our show.
Yeah,
although James is saying it's very annoying.
Okay, so it's just a matter of who's more annoyed by static.
Yeah, so.
Don't know what to do about it, kids. I mean, we can't fix tech, like, in the middle of the show.
Well, I mean, I have in the past.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's not always easy.
No, and I don't want to knock us off the air.
to come back and
no, and
see if that works.
Exactly. And I know it's recording well.
Yeah, sorry, kids.
I don't know what that is. I can.
Oh, you know what? I just heard a little whisper that in my ear.
What'd you hear?
It sounded like static, but like something like it almost sounded like something brushing against the mic.
Maybe it was your breath.
No, the mic is set up too high for that.
You know what? Let me try. Should I take a quick musical break?
Yeah, and see if
see if I can get somebody on the phone who can
help with that.
Yeah.
Help troubleshoot? Yeah, I guess we should, because otherwise it's going to be 3 hours of everybody going, oh, that sounds horrible.
Well, they're used to that.
Yeah, I know. And that's without the static.
Exactly. So let me see here. Let me see what I can do. It will be in... No, it's not in the recording.
No, because you can actually
see. You should check the microphone. It's not the microphones.
They're the same old microphone.
It's the same old microphone. It's not in the recording. Let me see something. Hold on. Let's do something.
Okay.
Neither one of us. Neither one of us say anything. Okay. It is. There's something registering.
I'm hearing humming.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's louder than it should be.
Right.
Let me see something. Let me try. All right. No. 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 See, in order to fix this, I would have to take us off the air. Oops. And I don't want to do that.
No, because that'll be dead air for a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of networks. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, and everything on the board is exactly on the same levels as usual, right?
Yeah, there's definitely
some. I'm hearing buzzing.
What?
I'm hearing buzzing.
Yeah, there's definitely something. Really, this is fucking riveting radio. I got stations listening in. This is riveting. You know, it always happens.
Well, Tom says that the static is trying out for Joe's spot.
I'm going to be nice.
I know, that's really a song.
Tom, you really set me up on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, if Joe was here, I would clearly smack that off.
Oh, of course you would, but it's like, no, that's, you know what, that's not fair.
Let me see. Let me see if I can turn down the volume on the mic. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, now if we talk, no, see, then they can't hear us. Wait, Can they hear us? Is that better, guys?
Is that any better?
Does that sound better?
Can you hear us?
All right, hold on. Like, there's definitely still a hiss.
Yeah, I hear something.
That I really want to fix, but I don't know if I can fix it without knocking us off the air.
Oh, you can't hear us any? It's...
Oh, it's too low. Well, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Is that what they said?
No. Tom just said nope. I'm not sure
what the hell does that mean? All right. I turned real... Oh, this is where having the third person...
Yeah,
helps
really helps.
Because people don't understand, like, when I'm go quiet, it's not like I fucking left the show.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just working on, like, tech things.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Let me see here if I go to... Oops. The volume control.
Yeah, the static's still there.
How about now? It's probably really...
I still hear it.
All right. All right.
Well, you know, here's the thing is that the issue is sound. So it's like even if I could just talk while you're working on it, you keep saying, stop talking. Because you want to listen.
So no. I'm not even listening. I'm not watching the monitor.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm like, oh, boy. I can't even fill.
There's nothing to do. Should I knock us off the air for a second?
You know what? I'm thinking that maybe we should because otherwise it's going to be 3 hours of torture.
And I don't even know if I can fix it.
Yeah.
But all right, let me...
We're going to sort of reboot.
Yeah, I don't... I hate to do that, though.
I know.
Let me see if I... All right. What the hell happened? Oh, wow. All right. I just fucked up.
Uh-oh. Can I talk?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So, Tom, I was thinking about you because I was at that gas station off the side of the highway in Pennsylvania, and there's this big lot with all these trucks on the side of it. And I thought, oh, that must be, like, the kind of place where Tom hangs out. Like, if he's, you know, you pull over to the side of the road. I mean, I've seen that before, but, you know, these places are usually tucked off to the side of the road a little bit, and you don't notice it. Mm-hmm. Or at least I don't, like, go, you know, I'm not a... You know, a lot lizard. I don't go looking for them. But I was like, oh, hey, here's Tom's buddies. I didn't go up and say hi to anybody, though, because I thought it would be taken all wrong. I just kept to myself and got my gas and went. Now what?
No, I'm just, like, I know what I have to play with, kind of, but it means I have to knock us off the air.
Yeah. And well, why don't we just go ahead and do it?
Want to do that?
Yeah.
Hold on, wait, don't say anything. You know what? It should be fine because I'm looking at the levels when I did that. See, I know in the past when I fixed it, this is such a fucking awful radio, by the way. Fucking makes me sick doing this.
I know, but what can
Joe
you do?
Joe installed gremlins.
No.
No, like in the past when we've had the hiss.
Yeah.
Like, and this is what I was playing with before this show. Like, even if there's nothing going on, you'll see like
a little bit
of a level.
Yeah.
And when I just did this, like, hold on, don't say anything. there's no level.
Right, but so, I could still hear it in my ear.
Yeah,
I
but it's very faint, though.
It's faint. Okay, well, if you guys can stand it, maybe we'll just go on then.
Yeah, I mean,
if it's that faint.
I mean, I'll turn down the main again.
Then you can't hear us.
Hold on. Oh, here we go.
Oh. Somebody called.
I just went on the website to get a new stream. Hawk is down, and I noticed Joe isn't on there. Did he leave the show? Stations. Well, yeah. Yes.
Did you just notice?
Joe.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
The show.
That you're texting.
Yes, Joe left the show, and I rebooted. Hawk is up. Rebooted. Hawk is up.
Who's asking you?
Talk Superstation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Talk Superstation.
Joe must feel very pleased that that he's noticed when he's not here.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely people are going to notice he's not here.
I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right, let's plow on. Because there's nothing I can do about this. Right? Oh, God. You know, when shit don't work, that's when everybody wants to talk to me.
I know.
Just getting like a ton of messages.
Well, I just have to complain about something. Not here.
Why not?
No. These are suburban problems. I mean, I never thought.
You guys are still live. We'll do it. Come back. Oops, come back. Not always the level on the board. Sometimes, but not always. But listen.
Aye, aye, aye. Everybody's calling in. Yeah. This is the most scintillating topic that
we've
had.
Wicked is down now. Hold on.
Oh, wait a minute now.
Hold on. Wicked is up.
Wicked's up. Wicked's up. Hawk Radio's down.
Really? I got people listening into this
like
shit.
A hole in the ground.
Sing it, Pipper.
Sing it. Oh, Devin's done. It's a heck of a clusterfuck right now.
Well, they're sorry to hear Joe's gone. They'll miss the Fat Horse Challenge.
Well, you know what? I almost volunteered to eat something horrible just because I knew that people would be missing that bit of the show. But, you know, we're sorry that Joe's gone, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, thank you for checking in.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking that our tech issues are the most scintillating part of the show so far. We've never gotten so many calls and emails at once. This is really, like, an exciting topic for people. They're like, hey, let me call in. Your phone's ringing off the hook. Blow it up.
Fucking do months of flawless shows. Nobody's got shit to say.
I know. No, we'll be like, here's the phone number. Nothing.
Time to invest in an intern. Really? Like, I haven't thought of that? Really?
Invest in an intern.
If I had anybody who was technically savvy, I would be able to do tons of other things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I don't. So I try to plow through this.
You know, the station that my husband works at had this guy that was just, he was always his dream to work on radio, and he was this young kid, super geek. He was one of those people that really, I kind of figured that he might have been someplace on the autism spectrum because mm-hmm. he was just so ill at ease with other humans, and he had that sort of, like, know-it-all attitude about stuff. It's like, look, kid, you're 14. Shut up. You're so irritating. But he knew friggin' everything. If something was buzzing, something was popping,
give me that person.
Oh, I know. No, he's actually making a living doing that now. He wouldn't come up here. He's not 14 anymore. He's in his 20s. I'm talking a long time ago.
What am I getting? Pip, aren't we all just a bit?
Aren't we all just a bit what?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Irritating? I don't know.
Oh.
That must have been, wow, ouch.
Oh, aren't we all just a bit irritating? Not everybody, not constantly. No, this kid was really irritating, I have to tell you. He was like, you know the Big Bang Theory? He
yeah.
was Sheldon-ish.
Oh, by the way, this is the type of advice I get from the listeners on how to solve my problems.
What's that?
As far as interns. Uh-huh. Free beer and pizza, which I got no problem with. They can crash in the corner near the cat box. This is the advice I get from the faithful. This is the people that are trying to walk us through this.
You know what? As enticing as that offer sounds, we still haven't gotten a lot of play with that offer.
Ay, ay, ay. Autistic or irritating, really much of a difference? Wow, sassy tonight.
Wow. Well, you know,
this show should hit the shits more often. God forbid we do the stuff we have prepared. No, but the tech issues go down and you start riffing and I'm only half paying attention and everybody's got shit to say.
They're all thrilled.
Finally! Joe's probably laughing somewhere. He's online. He's laughing somewhere.
Oh, no. He's probably laughing and going, oh, what a shit storm it sounds like without me.
Yes. That's what it would be. But here's the thing. Even if he was here, this is not the type of thing where I go, I'll handle this. You guys keep talking. I have to take us off the air.
I know. Yeah.
And I'm not even sure then I could fix it.
Well, and then it's kind of this sort of, you know, with podcasts and with online radio stations, you know, a lot of stuff is automated and people aren't necessarily sitting there like waiting to fill the dead air while we go down. So it's not.
No, there's dead air.
Yeah.
There's nothing but dead air. And we got so many affiliates that are kind of.
That it would just be like crushing them.
Yeah,
you know? Exactly.
So I can't really.
It's a big undertaking to.
What it does look like I is.
Boot.
I have shit to deal with tomorrow. But anyway, all right. I did want to pay a tribute to somebody, not somebody who passed, not Joe. We tributed Joe.
We threw coins at him.
Joe's still walking the earth.
Yes.
So you know he's got that going for him.
Unless he's out there eating more terrible things than we ever thought to punish him with.
Well, we learned last week that Joe's weakness,
mm-hmm.
out of all things, was Indian food.
Which is like, really? That's like real food.
It's like delicious. Like, it's unclean. I'm like, you ate cat food.
I know. We're
talking about aquarium water, and Indian food is what repulses you?
Who knew? Everybody's got their limit. It's just a matter of poking and prodding until you find it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, please go on with the tribute.
All right. So this past Sunday, we buried my wife's uncle, who's a very kind man. Very nice man. He's the type of guy that nobody had a bad word to say about him.
Yeah.
Unlike me, who people are apparently lining up to say shit about.
They call me.
At least that's what I hear.
Late at night.
Apparently there's a whole little gathering of people who like to chit-chat about me when I'm not around.
Well, that should make your head grow very large.
Well, my head is always large, but that's the other head. But I find that fascinating that I'm such a hot topic of conversation. But whatever. But this person was the opposite of that. This person was the opposite. Here was the thing. Apparently, my wife loved this man,
yeah.
Seymour Margulies, her uncle. So apparently, he had been sick for a couple of weeks.
With what?
It's the back medication he's on actually made his organs fail, as it turns out. Elise's father was on the same type of thing. He took himself off.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, thank goodness.
Yeah, really?
But unfortunately, Elise's uncle did not, wanted to tough it out. Former Navy vet, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Judge.
Wow.
Judge, lawyer, top-notch guy. So, but he'd been in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and nobody told my wife.
What do you mean?
Nobody told her that she was sick. They forgot that they didn't tell her.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, like, everybody got to call and talk to him.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
How do you forget? Oh. I mean, I know people got busy shit going on. How do you forget?
Oh. Well, you know what, though? I've often thought, and, I mean, maybe somebody's already done it and I'm not aware of it, but I've often thought that it would be really good, and it would be general because everybody's situation is different, but to have some sort of guide, like a pamphlet even, with checklists.
The death guide?
Sort of.
I think that's what this is every Tuesday.
No, this is the death march.
It's taking forever! Oh! Are we almost dead yet? I gotta stop and pee before I die.
Another week. Oh, all this Advil. I should just take enough to kill me.
I think they've been slipping that into my drinks.
No, that's strychnine.
I think they're giving me the stuff for my period. The good news is the pain from my cramps is non-existent now.
You're a lot less bloated.
Well, I've been working very hard.
Oh, great. So Mocha's here and says, y'all sound like shit.
I know, Mocha.
We know.
You know what I'm going to do? During the break,
yeah,
I'm going to knock us off.
Okay. Yeah, but we're having technical problems.
Should I do that now? Should I do that now? Which means that we're doing 2.5 hours of street fucking radio. I mean,
it's not like we haven't done it before.
No, but I just feel bad because of the people, you know, I feel bad because the people who are running the station.
Yeah, I know. They're not expecting us to break now.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? I think that we're, what do you think, Tom? You're listening in and you're a reasonable person. What do you?
Wow.
I'm guessing.
Okay. We're hoping. we're assuming.
I'm making big assumptions based on having a few conversations on the internet.
I think Tom is as deranged as the rest of us, but all right.
No, Tom is as deranged as the rest of us, but he's still pretty
reasonable.
With
Trucker Tom is the voice of reason. The show is in trouble.
So I just wanted to know if you think that it's bad enough that we should break now.
Not the content.
Yeah, that you have no control over, and tough nuts. But, if the staticky part or whatever, because I'm not hearing it much anymore.
No, I'm really not either.
What he's most upset about is, wait, I'm the voice of reason? Yeah, you're the voice of reason here. How scary is that? Yeah, we're looking to you for advice.
Just answer, Tom.
Oh, no, really. He's still clutching his chest and reeling.
Probably driving off the side of the road.
I hope he's already off the side.
Probably a lot of lizards falling out the cab.
Wait a minute, there's more than one in there? All right, Tom.
Well, you know, he picks them up. He's a young trucker. You know, he's probably the catch of the arrest area.
Probably.
Which is quite the credential.
He's pick of the lot.
He certainly is.
I don't think it's that bad. We can muster through till break. Okay, that's the call.
All right.
Thank you, Trucker Tom.
All right. Hold on. I think I'm getting more input.
Oh, my God. This is blowing up the phone.
Really? This is what I needed to do?
This is what? Yes. You know what? We should have gotten just like a white noise machine in here years ago.
Should you let the folks at the station know and do it in about 15 minutes? That way they can be ready for the move. Here's the thing. You know, that's excellent advice.
It would be.
But the thing is, like Pip said, there's nobody sitting there running it.
Yeah.
It's just pretty much, all right, these assholes have our air for now.
Yeah, they're automated and they're...
But you know what? I'm going to do that. That's actually a good idea. Although I really don't know what to fix.
Yeah, I know.
I will. It is 7:08. And 15 minutes from now,
yes,
I will take a break. We will go dark. We will be back.
Yes.
The noise might be shittier.
Yes, it might be worse. We're taking a calculated risk.
But I will make a phone call.
Yes.
And I will try. One of the, you know, usually Joey from Hawk helps me out.
Right.
But he's away for 3 weeks. I knew this was going to happen.
You went away for 3 weeks?
He's away for 3 weeks.
That is a hell of a vacation.
I mean, he did tell me I could contact somebody. I could contact Chris from Cyanet, but... I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but all right, for 15 minutes. So, yeah, and here's one more thing I wanted to talk about, this funeral thing.
Yeah.
I've noticed this with myself.
Okay.
You know when you have to go in for the hug and the cheek-to-cheek thing?
Yeah.
I'm always doing the kiss, because I think you're supposed to do the kiss. It's not reciprocated. Am I doing this wrong? You know, the air kiss.
I have wondered about this, too.
What is the protocol?
You know, I have done, well, you know, this, I've done every variation on that.
What, are you giving him tongue? Slapping him in the ass? I mean, I think that's every variation.
Throwing him down on one of the couches in the wake room.
I mean, what, are you giving him the stiff arm? I mean, what are the variations?
At least give him a reach around, because,
all right, there's a variation I didn't think of. What are the variations?
Well, people are sad. I try to, you know, make them merry as best as I can. But the thing is that, you know, sometimes it's the kiss on the cheek, and I don't know if it's men are supposed to kiss women or women are supposed to kiss men.
Also, you think it might be a gender role?
It might be a gender thing.
Now, when I'm going to kiss a man, it's always awkward.
Yeah, unless it's like your grandpa.
But I see other women kiss other women.
Yeah.
Other women have kissed. Maybe it's me.
But see, I think that the new thing is that they go cheek to cheek and do an air kiss.
That's what I'm doing, but I'm the only one going, mwah.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, what's
I feel like an ass.
I know. I hate the air kiss.
If we're both air kissing, I'm cool. I feel like it's like a big matzo ball out there. Like, I've exposed myself. Like, I am more committed to this embrace than this person, and I've gone too far.
Oh, wait. No, wait. This is the most embarrassing one. I went to do the cheek kiss, but...
You gave him tug.
No. But, and this was my friend's father.
Uh-huh.
He moved his head. I ended up, like, almost, like, Frenching his neck.
Uh-huh.
I was like... I'm on to my friend's father.
On his neck.
On his neck.
Should take a little nipple.
I should have. I should have had an opposite. You're not supposed to moan passionately when you do that gesture, Devin. That's what I'm getting from the chat.
Oh. All right. Is that why it's uncomfortable for everybody?
Yeah, that's why.
Because I linger in my groin area around their leg a little too long? Is it that the heat from my loins is making it uncomfortable for them?
Yeah.
Because I find it very passionate to be kissing 80-year-old women at a funeral. But that's my thing. But apparently the chat is saying that I'm the one who's gone too far.
It's the rubbing. You know, it's more than that. They're saying, you know, wouldn't the air kiss make the men think that you've switched teams?
Well, no, because with the men, I do slap them on the ass. Because then it's kind of ambiguous. I mean, I could just think we're playing a sporting event.
Now, yeah, I was just going to say, this is more locker room-ish.
Yeah.
Well, no, wait. I think that the kissing on the cheek, if it's like a funeral kind of event, that's the only place that men can get away with that, kissing on the cheek. And it's only for a relative.
Men don't kiss other men on the cheek at funerals.
Well, if it's like your...
Unless you're Italian.
Like Italian.
But then it's usually right before you kill somebody, so there's going to be a funeral soon.
If anybody says kiss the ring, run.
Kiss the ring?
Run.
What about kiss my grits?
Kiss my grits. Nobody says that.
Nobody says that?
North of the Mason Dixon. No, no,
Some
no.
of these references? Yeah. Well, Joe's not here. So
that's right. Hey, I throw those in, too.
I thought somebody should have old references. Exactly.
Well, I think it was grinding on the grandmother. That was the thing that, like, kind of... made people upset in the first place. Oh, or they want to know, do you rub or do you grab?
Do I rub or do I... It really depends on who. We're not dark. Once we take your dart out, just text me when you're back. We are live. I'm getting all sorts of weird stuff today.
Everybody's excited about
just
this.
Not. I didn't know this many people listened.
Ah, this is funny. Trucker Tom says, kiss my grits. Get back to your tables, Flo. Mel's getting pissed.
That's what I was going for. Thank you, Tom.
Kiss my grits.
I am so fucking blown. This is not the show I want to test. But apparently it's entertaining in some cluster...
fucking way.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
As we plow through and get to nothing that we wanted to accomplish. But all right, so it's not just me that's awkward with the kiss.
No. No, I find that very weird too. I don't like the air kiss cheek to cheek thing with other women. I'm like, look, either we but here's another part of the whole embracing sort of thing. Mm-hmm. When people hug, now, this is something I never used to think about, but then, like, different events made me think about this. When you hug, and you're hugging with a woman, now, I think when people are not, you know, into each other, or they're not a couple or something, when you hug...
You're talking about, like, a friendship hug?
Yeah, like a friendship hug.
Uh-huh.
Without even knowing that you're doing it, most people stand in a way so that their groins are far enough apart.
Oh, yeah, you kind of do the chest-in thing.
You do the chest-in thing. But the thing is, now, when I hug people, I'm sorry, but the boobs are in the way.
Well, that's the kind of a highlight.
And they make contact.
But guys aren't complaining.
No.
Unless your boobs are still a little scraping our nuts, we're cool. And even then, you know, we might linger and maybe do like a little dance.
Yeah, well, that might be a little bit of, you know, add the tingle to the hug.
That'd be kind of cool, like to get your rocks off during a hug. Just a friendly hug because the woman's boobs are so low that they're straddling your schween.
Yeah, but I mean, is there something about, I don't mean it as a come on. And I've heard people say, no, I don't. And they're just there. And I don't even want to know why Mocha is saying bed bugs in the chat room.
What?
What? I don't know. I assure you, there are no bed bugs on my breasts when I am hugging people. I do a thorough scan before I go in for the hug. I have no idea if they're covered in bed bugs, however. But when I'm... Pip and her flesh press. Nice.
I like that.
Flesh press.
I like it.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, oh, theirs. Oh, I get you. Okay, so if I'm hugging people, their bed bugs are going to jump off onto me?
Isn't that crabs?
What
are they talking about?
I don't know, but I usually don't worry about these things.
The chat's going rogue.
Yes.
I got rogue chats. I'm getting rogue Facebooks. I'm getting rogue texts. Nobody's calling me rogue. 845-986-8804.
Oh, yeah, they are. It's unbelievable. But no, that's kind of a weird thing. I didn't think that this was like a come on thing. It's just like they're there. They get in the way if you give somebody a hug, like a friendly hug.
No, not in a way. Not in a way. If my tits.
Yes.
Touch somebody inappropriately. They're in the way. Because nobody wants man boob on them no matter who you are. Even a chick doesn't want moob on her.
Yeah, but you don't have moob.
No, but if I did.
Oh, if you did.
If I did.
Yeah.
If you did. No chick wants moob on her.
I don't like to be judgy, but moob is just not attractive.
No, it's certainly
it's just not.
Not.
You know?
I did like what you posted on Facebook.
Oh,
about,
yeah.
Like, people, like, judging people by their appearances.
Can we talk about that?
Can you do it in 7 minutes?
Yes.
All right.
7 minutes of hell. No,
that's what I call lovemaking with my wife. For her, not
for her.
Not for me. Are you ready for 7 minutes of hell?
Yes, but first, can you answer what's going on in the scene?
Shut up! Shut up! This is why there needs to be a penis in your mouth.
Let me wait. Turn around this way so I can watch.
Well, that would be me.
Yep. I know.
She's like, your moves are scraping my back.
Your moves. No way. Now, the thing is, I was looking on Facebook, and I noticed there was something on Mad Magazine that had this takeoff on Kim Kardashian that made her look gigantic. And
right.
They were talking about, you know, how fat she is, pregnant, blah, blah, blah. And it just made me, you know, like every once in a while I see red and I go off on a tangent.
But she's got a fat ass too. It's all pretty in proportion now.
She's always had a fat ass.
The ass is too much.
Well, supposedly that's the big call. I never thought.
Have you seen the guy she's with? They're black guys. Yes, that's the call.
But I never knew this.
For a small white guy like me, too much butt.
Well, see, that's the thing.
I can't handle that.
All of a sudden, well, you know, I mean, this is different. I mean, I grew up in white bread America, and having a fat ass was considered a really bad thing. Now people are like, oh, look at that big ass. And I'm like, wait a minute, they're saying that in a positive way? I can't readjust.
Yeah, ever since black culture got hip, absolutely.
Your
ass is in, baby.
Finally!
Took you long enough. That ass is up for grabs.
I know.
Everybody wants to tap that ass.
Oh, let me tell you something. The black guys, the Hispanic guys, always been into this ass. But, you know, it's like the white guys, not so much.
But I don't know. So, like, what? People are judging her and you got, like, all set off? Or
something? I did. Because it's become a trend.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought we're celebrating pregnant women. I mean, we got them on the covers of magazines all the time, naked and pregnant.
Yeah, I know. But all they're talking about is bump watch, staring at their
tummy. No, but I mean, like, full-blown pregnant. Like, it's a disease.
Yeah,
full-blown.
I have full-blown pregnancy.
Yeah, full-blown. You got one more month. I think it's terminal.
Look, if he had full blown, you wouldn't be pregnant, would you?
Good point.
Thank you.
No, but you see him like with the they're holding their belly, like they're holding their privates with their belly over their arm, grabbing the boobs. We've seen this.
Yes, that. I mean, there has been that pose, and people are, you know, celebrating.
I think Demi Moore was the first one.
Yeah. And there, I mean, the first one that I knew of, and then there were a whole bunch of portraits like that. But that's not what I'm seeing in tabloids and on those kind of gossip.
That's your first
things.
Mistake. You're reading tabloids.
I know. Well, no, I mean, you can't help it. Like, you know, E television. On Facebook, there are memes about it. Every time you pull up the computer, there's something about, oh, this woman is too fat during her pregnancy. Really? Now even pregnant women are being judged by how big they might be? That it's just ridiculous to me, because it's like you can't have a moment at any time without being judged, without being ridiculed, without being torn apart. But what really bugs me is with other women are doing it to each other. They're always being catty and ripping each other apart. And it just drove me insane seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like Mad Magazine, I know it's predominantly a male population writing and reading.
Right.
But women were sharing this.
So so you're really upset that women are buying into it.
That was the worst part. That, you know, it's like, yes, men have objectified and judged and torn apart women forever, and it's just, you know, gotten even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But women doing it too is what set me off. And so I wrote this Facebook post about, could we just, like, how about, like, supporting each other and not tearing each other apart?
And that's not what I took out of it.
What did you take?
Well, you saw what I posted.
Well, you always have something sarcastic to say to my Facebook post.
All I posted was, you know, I prefer to get to really know somebody before I tear them down. I find the daggers and barbs are a little sharper that way.
Once you know where the real soft spots are.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, look, calling a woman fat, that's always the lowest knob on the pole, the lowest denominator, the easy thing,
yes.
Because every woman in this country and in this culture is sensitive about their weight, whether they really need to be or maybe they really should be. Mm-hmm. Every woman's sensitive about their weight. And the real low-hanging fruit, the real easy way to go is call a woman fat. Now, you know that you're going to be sleeping on the couch if it's your woman, if you're saying that.
Well, you don't call your woman fat to her face.
No. No, you don't.
No, you say, oh, yeah. Oh, see you wearing your mom's clothes. That's nice. That's a nice subtle way to do it.
But, you know, it's another thing. It's like, that's always the go-to. And it's so lazy. It's so lazy. You know what? And I always wonder about that, especially now that I'm married. If somebody has something to say about that, I'm thinking, so what? So you don't want to sleep with me. Like, I care. You know what? You don't find me desirable. I don't live for you. Too bad.
I live for myself, and I desire me. I can't keep my hands off of me.
You know what?
Actually, right now, I'm having my way with me.
I wish you... Yeah, I was going to say, I wish you could say that right now.
Oh, if only we had video.
You know what that humming is? Now I know what that is.
I got a rabbit. And I don't mean the type that we had for Easter.
And that's exactly how we met.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Remember, we were in a room, and the... Your phone is on vibrate, so it's like, yeah, thank you. That adds to the conversation. We were in a room that had a faulty heater, furnace. What do you call it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the heat duct or whatever,
right.
And it made vibrating sounds. Mm-hmm. And I was closest to where the sound was, and I was like, oh darn! I thought I turned that off, and I hit my purse. You cracked up because we were like, wow, okay. And it was the first time we met.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Quite the smooth guy. Making inappropriate comments to strangers.
No, you didn't make an inappropriate comment. I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I said that about myself.
I'm sorry. I just revealed that I was not listening as fully as I should have been because I apologize, Pet Peelick.
That's okay. I know that you're very distracted.
I can't keep my hands off of me. No, I'm trying to do all this stuff.
I know.
And we're gonna take a break in like 30 seconds. I'm gonna shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm going to try to do something.
Okay.
But so
I have a wrench to smack the board with. Ready?
Again, I was gonna say something, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
Alright, let's all right everybody. Hang with me. We're gonna be back in like a few minutes. We'll be back. Should we do like the regular 10-minute break? And for better or for worse, we'll be back?
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to do?
That's what we're going to
do. So I got like 7:23 on my clock now.
Okay.
We're going to be back in 10 minutes at 7:33, and then we're going to plow through this. Hopefully this quality will sound better. I really cannot promise that, though, because on my end, everything looks fine. To all of our affiliates, I apologize. I don't know what's going on. To our listeners, I'm sorry, but I'm going to try to fix this. Because this is what I live for, fixing bullshit. And then we're going to come back. Do you have any other stuff you want to talk about? Because we got a lot of things to get to. Okay, cool. All right, we'll be back in 10. It's amazing what you hear in these bumpers when you actually listen.
What do you mean?
Let's just say we will not be hearing that again unless people are listening to a replay.
All of a sudden you notice, you're like, oh yeah, that's right.
More shit Davin has to fix.
Yeah, I know.
So we are back.
We're back.
Hopefully our audio quality is better. The content is as crappy as ever. But hopefully it sounds better. You guys were just listening to... Daryl Rhodes, he's a comic and a musician. From his album, The Shadow You Cast Depends on Where You Stand. I appreciate everybody trying to help us.
Yes.
And your patience.
Yes.
And we are ready to go now for a 2-hour marathon. We got lots of stuff to do. Hopefully the sound quality is more to your liking.
I hope it's sounding better than it was before, because we were having...
Are we getting any feedback from our...
No, you know what? They're having an interesting conversation in the chat about Roadhouse the movie.
All right. Well, we don't need to do that. So you said before we went away that there was something you wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm having...
Quite emphatic.
No, I'm pulling my hair because I'm having...
You like that, don't you?
Just tug a little bit more.
Ooh, your boobs are rubbing up against me in this inappropriate hug.
I'm so irritated with what's going on with
autistic,
my
irritating, whatever.
Well, you know, a little of both.
Sure.
The landscaper that we have is a really nice man. And,
Mexican?
And yes, he actually is.
Of course he is.
Of course he is. He's really nice, mm-hmm. And we've had him for quite a while, and he's kind of inexpensive.
He's Mexican.
Yeah, he also does masonry work, which is really good.
He's Mexican, and he's not documented, I'm getting.
No, he is.
Really?
No, he is.
You checked his papers?
No, he's
a citizen. You giving him a W-9?
No.
A 1099?
Absolutely not.
A B-52?
No.
An HIV?
Oh, yes.
Oh, nice.
I gave him plenty of that. Full-blown.
Full-blown HIV.
On the front lawn, even.
That's hilarious.
I know. But... it's like, well, and taking off a theme that we had earlier, I now understand it was because we had technical difficulties, but you weren't listening to me. He doesn't listen to me either.
At least I have an excuse. You're paying the man.
I know. No, he speaks English perfectly, so I can't say that it's some kind of language
does
difficulty.
Does he think he's married to you? Because that's what a married guy does.
I think that he checks out. I think he's going, uh-huh.
Because we really don't care when women talk.
I know, but I'm paying him to do stuff.
At least he's getting something.
Bad Mexican, bad.
No, bad Mexican. You know who I know?
No,
Joe Padula will come here with the rest of his troops and get you right out of this country.
And the thing is that every little step of now we had several things done at the house at Casa Helix. And,
you even named it in Spanish.
Yeah, well, of course. I like to call it, in deference to Grey Gardens, I like to call it Brown Gardens. You don't know Grey Gardens?
No.
Okay, it's a reference for the other people. They'll have fun with it, not you.
All right. It's fine.
And, he did a walkway.
Mm-hmm.
He moved two trees. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, like kind of overgrown shrubs.
Right.
He had to make a concrete step because we had this, like, hellish fall into the tumbleweeds space on the end of our driveway where if you want to go into the backyard, you just kind of, if one misstep and you fall into the abyss down into the neighbor's yard down this rather steep hill.
That sounds great for Halloween.
Yeah, but not good for, like, every day. And so every single thing needed to be, like, really? Why did you do that? Like the walkway,
What do you mean? What really? Why did you do that? I don't.
Well, because like one thing was we had this shrub that got knocked over during Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, there was a lot of losses. Please don't tell me you lost a shrub.
We lost a shrub.
Oh my God! Is FEMA there?
You know what?
Oh, we've all lost so much in this tragedy, and you lost a shrub. The unkindest cut of all. You poor. I had no idea you were dealing with the loss of a dearly beloved shrub.
Yes. There was a shrub lost at as Trucker Tom has mentioned it, Pip Helix's house of ill repute and waffles.
Yeah, but now you know Trucker Tom's going to be like parked out there for like breakfast at 3 a.m.
I'm not sure he's not already.
before he has to release his load. And I mean that for his job.
Wow. Oh, boy. Now, you know what? The problem is that one of the things that he had to do was move this shrub, which is actually like a lilac bush that fell over, and it was lying... Part of it was lying on the driveway, and part of it was lying on our only walkway. And so...
So what was it, like you gave a Donkey Kong, you had to leap over it like it was a barrel?
Yeah, kind of. Oh, kind of. Right. It was a challenge all winter.
Yeah, everybody's challenged. So really? You couldn't get it moved till winter? It didn't snow that much.
Well, the ground was hard.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so, I'm glad somebody was at that house.
So, and I thought maybe it was dead, and my husband was like, oh,
we're still
it's
talking
dead.
About the shrub, right?
Yes, we're still talking about the shrub.
All right.
So, but it was,
Well, I'm glad now people are commenting on what's going on as opposed to the crappy sound.
Joe is saying,
I'll take that as a victory.
Joe says, Pip, my thoughts and prayers are with you and your lost shrubs. May we never forget.
You should sell shirts. Never forget.
Never forget a picture of, like, the lilac lying over on the sidewalk.
rest in peace, Lily. It's Lily Cyrus, because that's what we named that lilac bush. We loved her so.
Well, I let
That's where Mr. Helix used to pee when he'd come home after his drunken stupors.
He was so annoyed by this thing lying on the sidewalk. But I thought it might come back. And it was starting to bud. So I was like, okay.
Like a man on Viagra.
It was starting to bud. So I asked them to move it. Well, I come home after I see that they've moved the thing. And it's hanging over that hill of death.
We're still talking about the lilac bush.
Yeah, okay. It's hanging over like it's trying to climb its way down the hill into the neighbor's yard. I'm like, really?
So you think the bush got pushed?
No, I think that they were just incompetent. It's like you couldn't stake it. What's wrong with
you? Oh, okay,
you?
So you don't think this was an attempt to finally finish off the bush for good by pushing it down the hill?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay. You think this was unintentional, like they just didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, this is just incompetence.
Which is shocking when you hire cheap labor. It's amazing that you don't get the top-notch work that $4.50 an hour pays for. It is really quite shocking.
You know what? I know. And Trucker Tom says, I'm the lost knight who says knee. I want a shrubbery. Oh, it's Monty Python reference.
You know, we get one guy with references I don't understand, and now the chat room explodes with references. It's a conspiracy, I tells you.
It is. Well, I get what he's talking about. Yes, I am the knight who says
I'm going to have to do, like, a show with, like, one other person of my age who has the exact same experiences that I do.
Yes, yeah, so that... You...
Chronic masturbation and Atari 2600.
Yes, you need somebody... From your cultural group and Jean. And
victory!
What?
Chris from Cyanet Radio says it sounds great now.
Yay!
You listeners were right that you told us to rectify the situation. The idiot behind the curtain, me, stumbled upon this and fixed it. Unlike a lilac bush, it could be saved.
Well, this lilac bush hopefully will be saved after the abuse they put it through.
It's a beaten lilac bush. Oh, now it sees other gardeners coming and just cowers.
I know. I think if this thing makes it, it's going to be a miracle. But I'm not going to blame...
Thoughts and prayers.
I know.
Should we do a comedy fundraiser for the bush?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, well, and so they decided for some reason...
Who's they?
The landscapers.
Okay. Well, they're working without you. They're going rogue.
On their own, they decided that now there's this little shrub that was standing there that somebody had, like, mercilessly hacked off at the knees.
So there's just random shrubs at your house.
Well, they were just kind of nubs. They were kind of like the bottoms of what used to be a shrub once.
I like the fact that now... The greenery outside your house thinks it needs to replicate what's going on inside your house and just be a hoard.
Yes, I'm afraid. They're
like, you know what? If it's good enough for the newspapers and cats, it's good enough for us.
I'm afraid that the front yard is going to be like a herbaceous representation of what's going on.
Miss SAT, herbaceous.
Thank you. I'll pull out another dollar word later. And
okay, that was kind of hot the way you fluffed your hair and said dollar. Thought we were doing dollar, a different... not holler.
I holler for a dollar. And
type of hoe I like.
So they decided that this thing, which used to hold up a bird bath dish, they decided that should no longer be there and ripped it out of the ground.
Landscapers, here's what they do. Landscapers will decide what your lawn needs. But, I mean, this is not... I mean, my parents have lost, like, good tomato plants or chive plants. Like my dad said, these are not weeds. These are chive plants. We want them gone.
Yeah.
Chive plants that lasted like over a decade. Gone. Wiped out. It was, you know what? Monday was Holocaust Remembrance Day. Today is shrubbery and chive.
Chive
Holocaust Remembrance Day.
It was a Holocaust on my friggin' lawn.
They're just, you know, they're sitting there. They don't know. Oh, that looks like a nice man. Next thing you know, they're in the weed whacker. It's over. They don't know. Into the weed whacker.
I mean, I really don't have the time to take. We have like a kind of a big piece of property, and Bragger. I really don't have time. I'm just saying that we do.
Internet and, radio pays well.
Well, and also there's so much damn deer poop in the backyard. I'm glad somebody else is dealing with that.
Ew.
There's so much, so much. It's just like a lawn of.
All right, let me ask you a question: more cat poop inside or deer poop outside?
More deer poop outside.
Wow, that's quite the horde of deer you have.
I know, but we don't have little boxes for them to use outside, so they go indiscriminately.
I think we need a drone strike of your house. I think you're bringing down property value.
Joe, can you take care of that?
You probably can. He's going, absolutely.
he's programming it now.
I'm sure he is.
So
a powerful man.
So between these, you know, they've taken out stuff. They're moving stuff and doing it badly. They're taking out stuff I didn't ask them to take out. When they put the front walkway in, they just dumped dirt on top of things that were growing there that I purposely planted.
Have you thought of hiring professionals?
They supposedly are
professionals.
Well,
that's the key word, supposedly.
Supposedly.
So fire them.
Well, it's too late. I mean, they're almost done with the work.
They're done. Did you read them the Riot Act?
You know what? The last straw for me was I come out, and on either side of the walkway, there are these two strips of dirt. And I'm like, great. I say to the guy, the goal is I'm taking up all the grass. Eventually, there's just going to be a garden in the front. There's not a big front yard. I'm just going to put plants and flowers and shrubs and stuff in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Taking out the grass. What does he do? Those two edges that had dirt, he seeds it. Like, you son of a bitch!
Do you think this was a spite seeding?
No.
You don't think this was spite?
He looked at me like a deer in the headlights when I said, what did you do that for? I told you.
Well, that's what every guy does when we get scolded.
But the thing is,
we play stupid.
This is why.
That's our defense.
I've told him this like five times.
How do you think his wife feels?
I think I'm calling her. We're going to.
I know Jose's always like that.
Oh,
that was a terrible Spanish accent. I cannot do accents.
I
do like a mix of every ethnicity into one thing that sounds like nothing. That was terrible.
It sounded like nobody.
Then I'm sounding like myself.
I think it was just. Yeah, I would have been happier if you took a big poop on the front lawn.
I can do that.
No, not you.
Oh,
the landscape.
I live to make you happy, Pip Healing. All I need is a newspaper and some two-ply.
I'll roll it up and smack you on the nose, too.
Guy, as I cower behind the leaning lilac bush.
Well, I'll tell you what I did. They put down seed and some little pellets. I don't even know what those do.
Those are poop.
I went
rabbit pellets.
I guess. I went and I brushed them all up and I scraped them and I put them in buckets. So I can't wait to go home tonight and see what they did with the buckets of seed and pellets.
Can I just tell you, now that the show sounds proper, nobody's commenting to me.
No, of course not.
Nobody's got crap to say now.
No, they're talking about poop in my yard now.
Well, you know what? We should do a live show while pooping on your yard. We'll do the poop challenge, the Pip Helix poop challenge. If Pip Helix doesn't lose 2 pounds every week, we take a dump on our front yard.
I can't wait to come out in the middle of the morning putting out the trash and find random guys I don't know pooping on the front yard.
You know, it's not a terrible idea. It would certainly get us press.
Yeah, and I think that it would get the neighbors talking.
We could do it for them, too.
They already talk.
But we can poop in their front yard.
You can't imagine that we are the weird house on the street.
No, you're like the Munster house.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah. Anything else?
Sergeant Padula has said that they actually do train now with the same drones that Anthony Cumia showed at the compound.
I believe. Oh, Anthony gets the best toys. There's no doubt about that. I'm sure the military is training with the same 16-year-olds that Anthony Cumia uses at the compound. Spear her with your bayonet!
Ooh.
Put a hand over her mouth! She's a prisoner!
Well, spear her with her bayonet. Now, how did you mean that?
You know, listen.
Either way.
I throw these things out there. Right. It is up for the audience to discern what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, she's the enemy.
Decide what's going on.
Exactly. Listen, I don't say terrible things.
No.
Not.
Never.
Not in the past couple minutes.
You were on a break?
I'm being put on a break. Anything else?
I just want to say, Sergeant Padula, I do not suck at reading you. I can't read what you say and talk at the same time, though.
I mean, really, the audience tonight, like, I'm glad they're into it, but they're very demanding.
I'm very demanding.
I almost
back at work.
I almost liked it better when people would just say horrible things. At least we knew where they stood consistently.
They're beating us
the
up.
Audience has, like, expectations of sound quality now.
I know.
And of us to be able to read their pertinent chats.
Oh, man. I
wow.
know.
All right. Well, good. You know, I'm glad we've raised the bar. I think.
No, I don't know. Well, I'm going to the bar after this.
I don't blame you.
All right. Know.
So, anything else? Or shall we move on?
No, we shall move on.
Well, shall we get on to the other things that we wanted to talk about?
Yeah.
All right. So, there was the Rutgers scandal.
Yeah.
For those of you, I don't know how you couldn't know, but if you don't know what this is, a videotape came out of the former now men's basketball coach over at Rutgers University, Mike Rice, mm-hmm. of using homosexual slurs to his players, calling them fairies and other words.
Although yeah.
I can say it, faggot, whatever. He said it. I'm not.
He
said
it.
I say words on the show.
It.
Really? I'm not on the FCC. Stupid. Just say the word. But he would call them fairies and faggot. He would throw basketballs at them.
Like hard.
And like kick them and everything. Now, the first thing I noticed when I watched this videotape is like the guy, because he has not been a very successful basketball coach at Rutgers, but the guy's obviously gifted in sports.
Right.
It's just he's coaching the wrong sport. If you watch this videotape, he should be coaching dodgeball. Because he knows how to throw a ball and hit somebody.
Man, he should be coaching that.
So this leaked in December by somebody who used to work with them and got fired.
Yeah.
Gave the videotape to Rutgers, and the AD saw it, Pernetti. Tim Pernetti, I believe is his name. So in December, they never said why, but Mike Rice was suspended for 3 games and fined $50,000. And Pernetti said we were going to rehabilitate him. This is before the video came out.
Right, right.
The video came out. ESPN Outside the Lines broke the story.
Yeah.
They waited a day, and then they fired Mike Rice.
Yes.
Now, I think before we really get into what has to play into it too, besides the public outcry, this is also the same school that a little over a year ago, a homosexual student killed himself over bullying.
Right.
And a couple of years ago, Don Imus had to go down to the women's basketball team and apologize for calling them nappy-headed hoes, and he lost his job. So you almost have to go, you know what? If you're going to cost Don Imus his job, you almost have to fire this guy for being derogatory towards homosexuals.
Do you know what that big red R really stands for?
No.
Ruh-roh. It's going to be
kind of walked into that, all right.
You did. Not really. There are always problems, and why doesn't anybody learn?
So what are your thoughts? Have you seen the video?
I did not see the video of him doing that. I mean,
See the video?
You know what? I don't have sound when I'm watching it at work, and it's like I've had internet.
So you could still see. You see with your...
Yeah, I know. I don't watch.
Okay.
I don't watch.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about because it was a vivid enough description, and I can picture somebody acting like an idiot towards their players. That was enough.
I think you've described me that way.
Wait a second. Whoa, hey, ball. Hey, what?
Hey, get your testicles. Run balls.
I'm dodging as fast as I can.
Why are your balls in my head? Shut up.
Stop throwing your balls.
Shut up, you fairy. I mean, when I saw this, the first thoughts when I saw this video, and he's coaching them, and there's such anger.
Yeah.
The guy's got to go. He's out of control. But that being said, when you learn that they suspended him, and there weren't any incidents after that.
Right.
If you're going to go the rehabilitation route, do you almost have to wait for the guy to screw up again? I kind of think you do.
Well, you kind of almost do. I mean, how can you tell if one is rehabilitated unless they... You know, unless they do or don't screw up. I mean, screwing up it's sort of like you're on probation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have conditions of probation. And then if you screw up the conditions of probation, then you go to jail.
Right.
You know, so it's like, so you have to screw up your probation. They could have waited until he screwed up. They could have said, we're going to have you under surveillance.
Right. You're on probation.
Yeah.
Now, I think they could have fired him in December. But I actually think maybe the suspension should have been longer. Hey, you're suspended for the rest of the year and the rest of your thing. Come back next year.
Right.
And, you know, if you want to go that route. I really don't have a problem with them not firing him right away if they were going to rehabilitate him.
A lot of employers, if they have a troubled employee, will go that route, that they'll attempt to rehabilitate them if there's a way. They'll send them for you know, anger management classes
right.
or therapy.
And I will not go.
Well, it's tough that you're the boss. I can't exactly send you. Or, you know, a drug or alcohol intervention, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, they will try that. That's happened at my own place of employment, mm-hmm. that they've done. They've gone that round and tried with employees. And then if they screw up again, then they're out. Completely understandably, they've done everything they could. There's another take here in the chat where they say that my take on it, that's how it is with sports. Those kids were not afraid of the coach. They're highly in shape athletes that are at least 6'6". They couldn't have been threatened by a 5'10 weakling of a coach.
Well, no, but that's not true. I mean, I understand where he's coming from, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying I even disagree, but you can, because there's a power situation there.
Yeah.
A small man mm-hmm. can torment a bigger woman.
Right.
Because, you know, smacking around. And there is a thing. You know what it is? You're programmed.
Yeah.
You're programmed. Because I look back, and I had a coach when I did baseball. You know, he would never. You know what? If we were like, he would call us Mary or Sally.
Yeah.
Or if he would hit a ground ball, he'd tell us to watch our lips.
Oh, God.
But
I mean, this isn't exactly new. I've heard this, too.
Right. But or, like, if, like, we were doing ground ball drills and, like, a bunch of us were sitting there kind of not paying attention.
Right.
That he felt we should be paying, there'd be a wicked ground ball right in the middle of the group. I mean, which is kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is high school, so I'm even younger. You just kind of thought, well, this is what it is. This is what we're dealing with.
Well, this is a good question. Was there a conduct order in his contract?
Well, you know what? I believe that there were instances, and they did warn him.
Okay.
I believe he did have a reputation coming in. I'm not completely sure, but I do remember hearing that, and he was warned.
Mm-hmm.
Before he got to Rutgers, he had been successful. He got to Rutgers, not successful.
Right.
If he had been, Knight, right? Who was Knight, the former coach of Indiana, who threw chairs and everything, and did the same thing.
Yeah.
I think if you're successful, you survive this.
Yeah, you do. I mean, in any profitable enterprise,
mm-hmm.
there's always, Bobby Knight.
Thank you. Bobby Knight, yes.
That's what the chat says.
I didn't think you came up with that.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
No, but in any profitable enterprise, everybody has a value.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that person is really valuable, if it's your biggest singer at your record company,
mm-hmm.
if it's your best player on your team, what have you, if it's your coach and you're on a winning streak, you know, there is always going to be a level of sort of like an extra inch of leeway that you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that they were probably trying to give him this extra inch of leeway by suspending him rather than firing him.
Well, and I think that ultimately cost the AD Pernetti his job.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, he said he resigned, but we know what happened. He got forced out. The guy who kept his job was the president. He denies seeing the video, which is a bunch of hogwash.
Of course it is.
Hey, I mean, you know this thing's going on in December. You're looking at the video. Do you think the president should be gone? Because there's been an outcry that he should be gone, too.
Right, right. Well, that there's another thing. I mean, that sort of does lead into the whole Sandusky thing.
Well, no, this is completely different.
It's completely different, but then it does have the same idea. Well, yes, you're right. wow. The sergeant says, well, at least he didn't touch boys. And Tom said, well, at least he wasn't bulldogging kids in the shower like Sandusky. Yes, everybody's very excited.
Playing some Penn State music.
Well, at least that wasn't going on. But what I mean is it's not just the person who did the misconduct. It's also who knew about it.
Right.
What did they do about it?
So you think Pernetti... But Pernetti acted.
He acted. I think that...
They could have withstood that storm.
They could have withstood the storm if it didn't get out into the general public. As soon as it gets out into the general public...
Well, now they're investigating Murdoch, who released it, because he, like, tried to, you know, he wanted to get $950,000, so the FBI is investigating him. He was, like, bitter, too.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if everybody who was bitter at me tried to hold things over me?
Oh, huh! Man.
All of a sudden, my scamming stuff comes to light. No!
All the skeletons in that closet. That closet is bulging.
All the skeletons. All the terrible things I say on this show.
Oh, please. They're not even skeletons. They're right out in the open.
There's... They're real living people. But.
Oh, okay. So, in the chat room.
People can- can call us, you know. Number's 845-986-8804. But the chat's on fire, and that's cool, too.
In the chat room, they're arguing about, you know, what do you mean he didn't touch? He was pushing and shoving. That's touching people. We mean bad touch versus really bad touch, okay?
No, I Pip is talking about in an aggressive way as opposed to being a sexual predator.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Although, you know, if you're really good, you can merge the two.
Well, you know, it depends. If you have one a little red ball in your mouth, you can merge the two.
Well, sometimes it's inflamed.
Can't help that.
So what do you do? What do you do if your kid is in that situation?
You know, they're college boys, but you know what?
They are boys.
They're still impressionable. You know that?
Sure.
It's like 17, 18. In our society.
19, 20.
That's 21. Not a grown-up. That's really not a grown-up.
Not the ones we know.
No, it's not. Oh, by the way, the chat points out that I said give an extra inch like 7 times. Guess what's on my mind?
Oh, Mr. Helix.
Oopsie.
You're not going to be needed. Bring the toy. Bring the attachment. No, not for the vacuum, stupid. Leave the furball there. I want you to give another inch.
Another inch. Yeah, well, they're a little upset in the chat that I brought up a ball gag. I'm not actually gagging anyone.
You know what? We try to make this show cleaner, to take it to the next level, and they just drag us down.
No, I actually did bring that up.
I know, but I was going to blame them.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to save you for a change instead of you throwing you under the bus.
Padula says hazing. With this show, it's more like gazing. I like that.
Said the guy who showers with a group of other young men every day.
They're Waldorf and Statler here in the chat room.
Padula like posted about like how excited he is. You know, he called his arms the guns and everything.
Welcome to the gun show.
Exactly. Yeah, he posted this on Facebook. I'm like, great. We get to look forward to another gay photo of you kissing your arms.
No, lick them.
And this is
massage them.
This is probably the toughest guy we know.
I know. He really is.
I mean, he could kick butt. I mean, he's a train. He's in good shape, but he's a little guy.
Well, you know what? It's actually kind of
not that there's anything wrong with
that.
Not
that there's anything wrong
with that. I just
want
to say our gay friends may be a little bit more hetero than our straight friends. Wrap your minds around that. I'm blowing minds.
I know. I'm a little. That's what the hum sound was before. It was me trying to think.
Mm.
Let's see. Damn, Davin, damn you on that comment. It got more likes than my post itself.
No,
what
you should.
What comment are you talking about?
He's talking about, this is Joe Padula.
On Facebook?
Yeah, he's talking about. Oh, come on. Hold on. To defend me, Joe gets in the chat room.
Yeah. And like, balls like nobody's business.
Dude, my balls are so busted. I have peanut butter balls. And they're not even crunchy. They're smooth. That's how badly my balls get busted.
No, Rover, no. I know.
So if you're going to post something, if you're going to set me up like that, and it's going to come across my newsfeed, that's right, bitches. I'm bringing it. So, yeah.
I don't understand this comment. Maybe you get it, Davin.
Probably won't.
Tom says, not like the players were getting the Marcellus Wallace treatment.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
I don't understand.
I feel like I should know what it means, but I don't.
Okay. Well, Tom is defending you. He says, come on, it's a topless self-pic in the mirror. You knew that was coming.
I guess they're now friends. Yeah, you know what I've noticed?
What?
Some of our chatters
yes.
are now Facebook friends.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know. We've brought people together. God
Which
help
scares
us.
Me because I feel like we need to control this army, but eventually...
No, they banded together against us.
They will turn against us and overtake the palace. They will storm the lilac bush.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be... Yeah, when somebody's out there crapping on my front lawn, you two are the first suspects. I don't care if you're overseas, Sergeant. Oh,
no, he's here. He's here.
Oh, he's here now?
Yeah, he's
okay.
here. It's a lot easier to crap.
This is like, you know, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Where in the world is Sergeant Joe Padula? On my front lawn, taking a dump.
Did you ever play sports?
No.
Okay, so you wouldn't know. I explain.
Back in the day.
I think if I had a kid. I do have a kid.
Oh, yeah. Who's that? Who's that young girl running around in your house?
I would be upset if this was going on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I this is coming from somebody who, you know, I think we've got more wussified as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is an extreme example of this. I think this goes beyond the pale. I mean, my guy was saying, you know, watch your ladies, come on, watch your lips, come on, Sally, and everything. He wasn't grabbing us and calling us faggots.
Well, you know what?
Who knew he could?
they're saying that I played varsity dirty knees. You weren't supposed to tell.
It's in her profile.
Yes, I guess I shouldn't have put those pictures. Let's see. Okay. Comment I didn't understand. I'm going to go forward.
All right. Well, you know you do have the microphone.
I know I do. The thing is, I didn't play sports myself except for, you know, at this summer recreation thing. Oh. I wasn't on a team.
Let me take this.
Okay.
Then you can finish that thought.
All right. If I feel like it.
Cole, you're on the air.
Hello, Sally.
Oh, crap.
Who's this?
It's my old coach.
Get out.
I'm surprised you remembered, Doris.
Oh, my God. I'm being taken back to it right now. I can't even respond. Hi, Coach.
I never would have figured I'd find you here. Found you quite by accident, actually.
How'd you find me, Coach?
I was on my freaking iPhone. I asked Siri to find me Dave's Diner, and I got brought to this train wreck.
Isn't that... Wow, it's like, you know, he used to do that when he was describing my play at first base. Just like a train wreck. It's weird because right now, like usually like I'm very empowered on this show.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing my coach's voice.
You look nervous.
I don't even know how to respond. Coach, it's good to hear from you.
I don't understand. That was always your reaction. Every time I opened my mouth, you started shaking. I don't know what the hell your problem was.
Well, I
was trying to help you.
I had Tourette's, Coach. I'm sorry.
Is that what it was? I thought there was other things going on there, Claudia.
Coach, I'm married now. I don't really think it's appropriate for you to call me a woman's name.
Oh, don't get your panties in a twist. That's the problem with everybody is they're all oversensitive about everything now with this whole thing going on with Rutgers.
So... I mean, now, Coach, you never manhandled me. Do you kind of wish you could have?
Looking back, it might have been a good idea. I mean, you were a little, you know, shall we say, Mary-ish, so it wasn't something I intended to do. But some of these guys, they asked for it, you know? I mean, who knows what that guy was doing before the coach whipped the ball at him?
But why was I Mary-ish? Was it my long hair?
Well, that was part of it. You were a freaking long-haired hippie. You couldn't tell who was a boy and who was a girl. It was the start. Your generation was the start of all of this oversensitive stuff, and everybody's allergic to peanut butter sandwiches all of a sudden.
Wow. All right. Coach, I mean, are you still coaching? I mean, if you still have your attitudes, I mean, can you still coach in today's world?
It doesn't work anymore. I'm 73 years old now. They're egging me all kinds of shit all the time now. Yeah, you can't say this, you can't say that no more. The head's the talking, shut up, is what I say.
Wow. Well, you know, Coach, you did one time hit me with the ground ball, and it kind of smarted.
It smarted. Oh, boo-hoo. Why don't you swing the bat once in a fucking while? Then maybe I wouldn't have had to do that.
Coach, you gave me 2 plate appearances, and I got on base every time.
Yeah, you walked every time. Yeah. Oh, why don't you just lean into the pitch? I'll take your base. Go ahead. Oh, yeah.
Because that would have hurt.
I don't know why you couldn't have been more like that. Remember that Italian kid we had on there, Armando Mascagioni? Remember him?
I do.
We called him Stump.
Yeah, because
he was tough. He was like a tree stump. He was a little stupid, but he was tough.
Coach, he's in jail now.
Yeah, but that's what did he do? He's in jail. He was driving a truck last time I heard. What happened to him?
I think it was sodomy. I don't.
Oh, that's, you know, that's the thing. He's better able to take care of himself in the slammer. You know what I'm saying? He was tough. He would be shagging fly balls. He'd trip, fall on his big fat Italian head, and get up like nothing ever happened, and go back and play again. All that while you were in the dugout doing your nails, Margaret.
Coach, I mean, I wanted to play. I was a decent first baseman. I was a good fielder.
Yeah, well, you weren't complaining.
I'm Jewish. It's what I do, Coach.
Oh, yeah. You thought you were a great athlete back then. Oh, I played a decent first base. Let me tell you, the only JV squad you were on was Jew Varsity.
Oh! Ow!
Damn!
All right.
Wow, you really are...
Stop stammering. You're an adult now. What's the matter with you? Grow a set, for God's sake.
You know,
I think he was speaking to me.
I'm just like having all... Like, I guess I repressed these memories of how inept and how terrible I felt. And, like, hearing my coach's voice, who I haven't heard in 30 years, it just taking me all back to very terrible times, coach.
Is that why you always had that damn Walkman on the bus, even though I told you to stop playing that, Betty?
Coach, the music was my quiet time. I'm sorry, coach.
What kind of music did you listen to, by the way? Were you into all that rock and roll crap?
I'm a big fan of Poison and Twisted Sister.
All right, Jeannie, I don't know what the hell you're talking about at this point. I guess that's bands that you like, your generation. See, it's all part of this whole thing.
All right, well, Coach, I would like to – I would want to say – normally I would thank somebody for calling, but I think – I almost want to take a break, but I can't do that tonight, unfortunately, because I already took a break. So I'm just going to go into fetal position and suck my thumb and think about what a terrible baseball player I was, and now I'm wondering about my own – masculinity, Coach.
That's how I remember it. Enjoy the rest of your... Listen, I gotta go. My frittatas are ready.
All right, Coach. Be good.
Just remember what I always told you.
What's
remember.
That?
Man up, Tootsabella.
Tootsabella?
Yeah, he did
wow.
Tell me that. I'll try to man up, Coach. I'm sorry.
I guess the coach is gone. Wow, the chat room was not very sympathetic to you. They were having all kinds of ideas about what you were listening to.
Really?
Yeah. So far, the big contenders are ABBA, Air Supply, Village People, and OMD.
What the hell is OMD?
Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, okay. Well, it's along the same... you'd be listening to it if you were Mary. Or Janine, or Doris, or any of the other names. He was, wow, he was not a very supportive coach.
Well, I kind of alluded to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you what it was. I mean, I forgot a lot of those things.
Wow,
that
Joe.
That coach, I at least I made an impression.
Joe Padula said, this guy sounds like the ghost of Paterno.
No, he knew what was going on, this coach.
Yeah.
But, wow.
He was what was going on.
But yeah, man, that really took me back. I'm sorry I did not command the show like I usually attempt to. I was just taken aback by this.
By the verbal abuse.
And Joe's not even here.
You know what? Well, that's what we needed, is a little verbal abuse to keep things rolling.
Ah, now it's a show.
In the same way.
They
were suggesting that, why don't you just play that soundtrack from Roadhouse again?
Soundtrack.
That was their take on the honky tonk music during the break.
Oh, okay. it's good stuff. All right, you know what? I'm a little shaken.
Okay.
I'm not going to take a break.
Oh, you're not?
No, I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move on to comics in the news.
All right.
We'll talk about it because I'll get me on my firm footing talking about comedy and what's going on with that. Because clearly I don't want to talk sports anymore.
No, I guess not.
So we'll do some comics in the news.
Okay, Doris.
E2, Pippi Alex.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
There's another voice I don't need to hear either. Ugh, it's just been a terrible night. Ay, ay, ay. All right. Well, John Stewart was in the news. I'm going to play the clip, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Because I'm all sorts of messed up.
Imagine for a moment that arrest warrants were issued for John Stewart or another well-known comedian because political satire was deemed offensive by some in the audience. Well, that's exactly what happened this past week in Egypt to a man who has modeled himself after Stewart. NBC's Ayman Mohideen has more tonight from Cairo.
He's hugely popular, watched by millions, and now out on bail and back on the air. His name is Bassem Youssef.
Our Bassem Youssef?
They call him the Egyptian Jon Stewart. His weekly show looks a lot like Stewart's Daily Show, where he's been a guest.
We're not very much different.
No. I think you look better in a suit, but other than that, I think we're the same.
A former heart surgeon, he idolized Stewart and started his own show in his laundry room.
It went on to become the most widely watched TV show in the Middle East.
Everybody loved him because he says it as it is, but with a lot of sense of humor.
Like his idol, Yusuf makes comedy out of political discontent. And there's plenty of that in Egypt, where nothing seems to work and democracy is struggling. He even mocks President Morsi while insisting he's just a comedian.
I don't take aim at that president. I take aim at the authority, because this is what sarcasm is all about.
Now he's at the center of a firestorm over free speech, facing charges of insulting the president and denigrating Islam. And John Stewart has taken notice.
Making fun of the president's hats and less than fluent English, that was my entire career for 8 years.
Stewart took aim at Morsi himself.
By the way, without Bassem and all those journalists and bloggers and brave protesters who took to Tahrir Square to voice dissent, you, President Morsi, would not be in a position to repress them. For someone who spent time in jail yourself.
A link to Stewart's comments was tweeted by the U.S. Embassy in Cairo. Morsi's office complained, and the U.S. Embassy deleted the tweet.
Do you feel that weight, that people now are looking at this case as a test whether there will be true freedom of speech or not?
I'm feeling it now. Now you said it. I'm quite stressed.
Back on the air, Yusuf came out swinging at Egypt's prosecutor, the Muslim Brotherhood, and even President Morsi.
I mean, what could they do? I mean, put me in jail, close down YouTube. We're just going to leave the country.
Bassem Yusuf now waits to see if he'll be put on trial. Ayman Mohidin, NBC News, Cairo.
All right. First thing I want to say about this, I think it's a very interesting story. First thing I want to say is, you got to admire this guy's courage.
Yes.
Because American comics, like, apologize, like, if we piss off a group of people.
Right.
You know, oh, the corporations are going to be mad, or an audience. I mean, American comics cannot apologize quickly enough when somebody gets upset. This guy gets thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm going to do my thing, man. You got to respect that.
It's amazing.
You know, you can compare him to Jon Stewart. But Jon Stewart has none of these fears.
No, he doesn't have to worry about it because, I mean, although there are limits to our freedom of speech because there are repercussions for freedom of speech,
mm-hmm.
but it's not going to get you thrown in jail. And God knows what's going to happen to him if he is put on trial.
I know one charge against him was dropped,
okay.
but he's facing a lot more.
Yeah.
So, you know what, though, when you hear about this, you go, Egypt's democracy, is it really a democracy? Not
no,
so much.
I don't think so. No, no. And we do really take for granted that, we do take for granted our freedoms here, but the other thing is that we don't guard them carefully enough.
I agree with that.
You know?
We give them right up.
Yeah, we do.
Can't give them up quick enough.
Yeah, we can't. We're like, oh, I'm
and it's not a Democrat or Republican thing. They both do it.
We're afraid. Here, take our freedoms, you know?
I don't want this to devolve into a gun thing, though.
No. But, I mean, just, you know, out of fear and just out of... I don't know, not stupidity, but just naivete, perhaps, you know.
I look at this guy and what he's got on the line. And he was a surgeon, so he had another career.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was Pip's gardener. this guy was
throw
successful.
That guy in jail.
If I was him, I'd probably stop doing the show. I got to and you know me, I don't back down.
No, I know, but you know what, you think about it.
I piss off people all the time and I don't give a crap.
Does this guy have a family?
I think he does.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, you think about his family and friends, and here he is saying, you know, he's got a, you know, this other guy has a huge set of brass huevos, as Charker Tom is saying. I agree, because...
His name is Bassem Yusuf.
Yeah, it's really, really difficult to, when push comes to shove, to see what you're really going to do. Are you going to back down, or are you going to stand up there when it really counts?
Mm-hmm.
And here, this is amazing that he's willing to say, no, you know what? I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to apologize to, you know, the head of our country. I mean, like you said, Americans are like,
I think he has made Egypt's government look weaker to the people. This guy now looks like a hero.
Absolutely.
Because the government looks small and petty, that they're worrying about some TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And here you got Bassem Yusuf going, I'm going to say these things. I'm saying it tongue in cheek. You could keep on throwing me into jail. You know, this is one of the, you know, and Jon Stewart hit on, this is one of the voices that led to Morsi coming into power.
Yeah.
You know, and he's still there.
You know what's really unbelievable is that they have so many other problems to worry about in Egypt. And this is what they're doing.
Well, you can't rape enough women on the in the square. I mean, you got to do other things.
You just can't. You know, is the,
there's only so much time in the day. Rape, 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 rape.
Oh, I'm exhausted from all the rape.
Can't we throw a comic in jail just to break it up?
Oh, a little bit, you know, because
then
I'm
we can rape him.
It's terrible.
Rape, 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 rape. Rape, 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 rape. Remember the old turkey
rape,
conversion?
Rape, rape, rape.
Remember the old pick, pick, rape, pick, pick. Rape, rape, rape,
rape, rape, rape, rape, rape.
You make right rape sound delightful.
Rape, rape, rape.
So then, the U.S. Embassy in Egypt, posts a link of Jon Stewart's rant.
Yes, about this.
What do you think of that?
I think that it's ridiculous that they're getting so up in arms about what an American, American comedian is saying about their
affairs. I mean, what do you think about the embassy posting this?
Ridiculous.
You think they should or shouldn't have?
They shouldn't.
I agree. I'm like, really? This is what our embassy's doing?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. It's kind of stupid of them.
It really is. You know, if these are the same people that are going to get up in arms about that stupid movie that they were,
but just, I mean, do we really need? Listen, I'd love for one of my tweets to. I'd love for something I did to go viral.
Right.
But
right.
I, you know. Is that what should the embassy be the source of this?
Well, I'm sorry, that Jon Stewart doesn't need that kind of promotion.
Well, he's only on Comedy Central. It's basic.
No, he really doesn't need that from the embassy because then it makes it look like this is an American position. This is,
yes.
You know, so, coming from our government.
So then what they do?
Comedians say so.
So then what they do is they pull the Twitter account.
Crazy.
You know what? Once you put it up there, have as much cojones as Basif Youssef. Did I say that right? Yes. Basif Youssef, and stand behind it.
Yes.
Now you're worried about, you know, annoying people. It's already out there.
Yeah, no. Do you not understand how the internet works?
They do not understand how the internet works.
It's sort of like, you know, you let the air out of a balloon. It's gone. You can't fill the balloon again. It's out there. You know, stupid.
So now Egypt goes to themselves, yo, you know what? I don't think we look silly enough to the Western world. I don't think we look petty enough.
We haven't beaten this dead horse enough.
Exactly. What can we do to make ourselves a bigger joke? Well, I got it. That Jon Stewart who ranted in America about this. Let's issue an arrest warrant for him and order an extradition because I'm sure... I'm sure President Barack Obama will be sending Jon Stewart on the next plane so you could press charges against him and the Jew could rot in an Egyptian Muslim jail.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Oh my, it's like, really? I mean, I'm good for Stewart that everybody's paying attention. I mean, you know what? I need to say more things about Egypt. I will start saying terrible things about Egypt.
I know. You know what? If that's the thing that works, we're going to rip Egypt a new one.
You know what? All I want to say about Egypt, I'm not impressed with your pyramids. My people built them. We should do it right here in America. You know where we should build the next pyramid? Right on Pip Helix's front lawn. Put some lilac bushes around it.
At least do it right.
Exactly. Well, we won't leave it to the Mexicans. We'll hire Jews. And you know how hard it is to find Jews to do that type of labor?
Jews are not known for their masonry.
We are certainly not.
But you know what? That's good. If they want to roll those big stones on logs and getting them up onto the front yard,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, everybody taking a crap on my front yard can, like, look up at something amusing while they're...
We're calling it amusing? What is it, the Luxor and Vegas?
Something
Jews terrible. Built a pyramid for you, and you belittle?
Well, no. No, yeah. I think it would be fantastic, actually. But
everybody be talking. Where would the deer poop?
I don't get this. I don't get this, Sergeant Padula. Jonathan Stewart Leibowitz for King Tut's body. Absolutely.
I think he's like doing a trade. But but America doesn't negotiate with Tutankhamun.
Oh, exactly.
We don't negotiate with pharaohs, Sergeant Padula. You should know the policy. We don't negotiate with pharaohs.
Nope, not
now a sphinx. We'll negotiate with a sphinx.
Jews not known for masonry? Those pyramids are still standing, aren't they?
That's a good point.
Good point.
But now we pay Mexicans.
I bet nowadays.
Yeah, you know, you can't find a good tough Jew nowadays.
The rights to the pyramids are still in court.
Because you know what? Today's Jews, let's think about that. Those Jews, nice tan. Today's Jews going to burn in the sun.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't leave them out there that long and whip them. And if you did whip them, who wants to deal with the whining? Enough with the whipping. I get it. Faster, more, better.
I didn't whip you. I held up the whip behind you. I felt it. I felt it.
Can I call my mother? I understand. Yes, you're the pharaoh. Powerful. I get it. Enough.
I know. It's so ridiculous. It's like, you know.
Too soon?
No. I think that, well, first of all, it's sort of like, you know, putting a fatwa on Jon Stewart. You know, it's not,
I did.
Well.
No, that was a falafel. I sent him a falafel. I get confused.
You got too close to him and you left him a fatwa. Oh, it was awful.
Stained. My fatwa stained.
But some of them do. But I think, right. I think the thing is that it's just a ridiculous... It's a snowball effect, the ridiculousness of going from, okay, we've already made ourselves look really foolish, and let's just, like, pile it on.
Right.
And nobody is going to send Jon Stewart to Egypt because he made fun of them. You know, that, I'm sorry, that's what we do here.
Well, the Republicans might.
Yeah, you watch your ass, John.
All right.
Oy vey, whipped like cream, they say in the chat.
Bunch of anti-Semites. All right. So I did an interview, which I did not edit. So it's in its entirety. I said I would edit something out, and I didn't. And it was just like because I was setting things up.
Oh, something.
No, nothing inappropriate. Just,
oh, okay.
No, there's nothing bad, but you just hear like 20 seconds, like, really? You need to include this? I didn't edit. So before you people say, I know, I whatever. It's mine. Bonnie McFarlane, the comedian who has had HBO special, Comedy Central special, was on Last Comic Standing. Her and her husband, Rich Voss, they put out this documentary, Women Aren't Funny. So we reached out to Bonnie, and I'm really happy with the way the interview came out. I'm really thankful and appreciative to Bonnie for taking the time, and I think we had a really good, honest conversation. I think she has some positions on women being funny that you might not expect the average female comedian to have.
What?
Yeah, so, okay. You know, here it is, as promised. All right. Can you hear it all right? And yes, I know the sound quality sucks.
I can hear it.
All right. Here we go.
She was on the cell phone.
We're going to start our interview. I'm going to edit this crap out. Don't worry.
Okay.
We welcome to the show comedian Bonnie McFarlane. She's had her own specials on HBO and Comedy Central. She's also appeared on Leno and Letterman. And now she is here to talk about her latest project, the award-winning feature documentary, Women Aren't Funny. How are you, Bonnie?
The award-winning feature documentary.
Well,
Women Aren't Funny.
Well, you sent me an FYI. Hey, we won the audience award. I thought I should mention.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It's funny. It's like, you know, yeah, we won the audience award at the Spires Film Festival.
That's awesome.
It's a great thing. It's great to win. It's better to win the audience award, I think, than the jury award. The audience is ultimately, you know, who you're doing it for.
Exactly, and that's what I was trying to promote, and you mocked your own credit.
I did. I laughed because it just happened over the weekend, I guess. I don't fucking know.
It hasn't.
Laugh.
It hasn't sunk in.
Oh, my God.
The magnitude of Women Aren't Funny, the success has not sunk in yet. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I shouldn't have named it Women Aren't Funny, probably.
Why? If you could do it again, what would you name it?
I don't know, but, you know, I didn't really think about using it as a credit. And, you know, now, you know, when I go on stage, they're like, she's the star of Women Aren't Funny. And now I gotta go make people laugh. You know, it's just not ideal. Not an ideal situation.
She's a star of Women Aren't Funny, and now enjoy her for 45 minutes as she tries to disprove that.
Yeah, my next movie is going to be called The Funniest Woman in the World.
I like that. That's going to be a hard follow-up, though.
Not for me, man.
Now we're going to start. We're going to do like a real serious radio-y interview, and then we'll get into debauchery if you'd like. Sound good?
What's happening? We're doing a real serious interview?
A real serious interview, because I'm going to ask you the basic questions, then I'll ask you some more interesting stuff. Is that cool?
Okay, I don't know if I can do a serious interview, but I'll try my best.
Well, your answers don't have to be serious, but the questions have to be.
Okay, I'm ready.
You ready? This is high pressure, I understand.
I'm making coffee as I do this.
Oh, I understand, you know, you really can't do an interview with Davin's Den until you're fully caffeinated. I completely understand.
I got to multitask. I've been up since 7 o'clock.
Well, that's because you're a mommy, right?
What's that?
That's because you're a mommy, correct?
That is right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, I'm of course talking not about your baby. I'm talking about your husband, Rich Voss. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, Rich Voss has a little one. I always think we're talking about Rich.
All right. So, what? Growing up, what comedians did you admire?
Well, you know, it's funny. I wasn't really that into comedy growing up. I grew up in on a farm in northern Canada. We didn't have television. So I remember my friend had a comedy album, and we didn't understand what it was. And we were like, we just kept saying, like, what is it? I don't know why. We couldn't figure out what it was meant for, you know?
Right.
Because we never heard an album or we were just talking. But then when I started seeing it on TV, and I started to really love, like, a sort of subversive kind of comedy. I realized, you know, that's really where my heart was, you know? Right. And then when I started doing stand-up, you know, I got really nerdy and really into it. And, of course, I love everything everybody else loves, you know?
So were some of the people that you grew to love once you got into it, were they a lot of them females, or was it males, or was it mixed?
No, in the beginning it was all males. I think for women that's the way it was. I mean, I did kind of find Rita Rudner later on, which sounds like a weird thing for me to really love Rita Rudner, but I just thought she was such a great joke writer, mm-hmm. you know? And I remember seeing Janine Garofalo on television, you know, like when I was in college, and thinking that's the kind of comic that I want to be.
Really?
You know?
That's interesting.
Well, because she was like cool. She was like one of the first cool female comics, you know?
Yeah, she definitely.
My friend and I loved Ellen DeGeneres especially. We thought that was really funny.
So it's funny you say Janine. You see,
silly, I love that.
You say Ellen and Janine Garofalo, and you really just can't get two more opposite personas as a performer.
Well, that's the thing. I think people who love comedy, you know, people think like, oh, if you love comedy, you're only going to like, you know, if you like Patrice, you're only going to like that kind of comedy.
You're right. No,
the
you're
truth
right.
is that you can love Patrice and you can love Todd Glass. I mean, if you like comedy, you know what I mean. It doesn't matter if it's clean or dirty. It's like, you love the originality of it.
Right.
You love, like, I feel like you only need to go see comedy 5 times before you really start to sort of hone your senses into what is good comedy and what isn't.
5 times?
5 times, that's my theory. If you go see comedy 5 times, you know, in a short-ish, like in a 2-year period, let's say.
Okay.
You kind of hit, you go now into being more of a comedy fan.
Okay. That's interesting. So it's like kind of a crash course in comedy. If you can immerse yourself in comedy within 5 times within 2 weeks, you start to get sensibility.
I'm saying you only need to go 5 times in 2 years, and you're going to realize that how many comedians are. The things that you liked about comedy in the beginning are the really kind of like happy, easy, hacky, easy jokes and stuff,
sure.
right?
Absolutely.
So. You only need to see comedy 5 times before you've seen enough of those kind of comedians.
No.
So you're now starting to search out more interesting takes on things. You're getting more sophisticated in your comedy. You like, you know, then you're
seeing
your real, what kinds of, I'm not making sense, what you kind of comedy you really like. Like, if you really are sort of drawn more to, like, a real comedian's take on things, you know, or like a Nick DiPaolo, or you're
right.
more into, like, you know, it's a more silly kind of comedy, you know, or more, you know, like a one-liner kind of thing, like a Mitch Hedberg, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you start to definitely get a sense of what you enjoy. I don't know if after 5 times the average person differentiates between hack and originality. I don't know if they're making that.
I think they start to. I do. I stand by it.
You give them a lot. You give the average person a lot of credit, Bonnie. I salute you. I don't know if I agree with you, but I salute you.
Well, most people see comedy maybe once every 2 years.
You're right. It's like something you do last
year. Once you start to love comedy, then you get really into it. But I mean, for most people, it's a very seldom experience.
Yeah, you know, and that's on the business. We really don't cultivate people coming back to live shows as much. I don't think as a business we promote how special a live comedy show is.
Right. I know, because, you know, this happened recently. I went and saw Rich. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously I've seen Rich thousands of times.
Sure.
But I went with my neighbors that live, you know, near me, and that's why they're neighbors. And, We went, and I sat in the audience for the first time since probably I started doing stand-up. You know, I watch comedy shows from the back, from the green room. I go in and out. I don't sit and watch an entire show.
Right.
You know? And it is a completely different experience because the energy of that is so different, and it's so fun. It's really exciting. And so when you look at, sometimes when I, now I think, like, when I'm saying in the green room and I'm looking at the green room, I'm like, ah, this is terrible, you know, whatever. They're not discerning as to how bad it is in a way. They just like the energy of it. It's
right.
Just fun. It's just, yeah. It was really interesting experience to sit in the audience.
You know, a good comedy show, and you said it, is pure joy. The audience is pure joy. Unfortunately, for people like yourself, how long have you been doing this, Bonnie?
This will be my 19th year doing stand-up.
19th year. I've been doing it 15, 16 years. When you get to be doing it as long as we do, unfortunately, so many other aspects of the job can suck the joy out of it. So we can actually sit down with the audience and have no agenda other than just laugh. It is kind of refreshing.
Yeah. Right. Well, as a comedian, you're kind of like, you're looking for different things than that, you know, than the audience is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they really are into the timing of it, mostly.
as a comedian, we're thinking, all right, he's setting this up, I bet he's going to go there, or she's going to take this
yes.
twist. As an audience member, and we forget this a lot of times, they really don't know where a comic is going with the thought.
Right. Right.
So, all right. So, when was the first time you heard somebody say to you, "Women aren't funny"?
You know, probably right when I started. I remember I started doing stand-up in Vancouver, and you know, going open mics there, and there was a real sort of, but there was hardly any women doing it. So I kind of felt like it didn't apply to me. Like I don't know if that's part like just like a. a mechanism on my part, like, to survive, or if I have, like, some kind of huge ego. I don't know. But it never bothered me when people would say that.
That's amazing.
I never
that's
thought
amazing.
It applied to me.
No, but that's...
Sometimes,
but,
you know... Sorry, go ahead.
No, but that's really what a comic has to have. What you had at that early stage was a thick skin, which you have to survive.
Right. Yeah, because every time, you know, you look at young comics and they're like, you know, they have such high hopes. They don't know.
They have no idea what's ahead right around the corner.
Yeah, like, they think they're going to, you know, they're like, I'm going to get a letterman, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that. And you, I mean, everyone has to have that, otherwise no one would ever do it. If you really knew going in how hard it was and how long it would take, you wouldn't.
No.
Who would do it?
No, everybody thinks that they can just tell a couple of jokes, and the next thing you know, they get their own HBO special.
Right.
Nobody sees the years of toiling on the road, sleeping in your car, Motel 6s, you know, whatever the case may be, dealing with drunk hecklers or, you know, being snubbed for this or that. But you're right. It's a journey.
In the beginning, those nights, I mean, I remember when I did my first gig with my first hotel room, how exciting it was. And, you know, when you're young and you're traveling around like that, it is, you know, it's fun. For 2 years, it's fun.
Yes.
And you're like...
When you're young,
I can't do this anymore.
When you're young, as a young comic, well, age doesn't really matter. But when you're a young comic, all you want to do is travel.
Age, I think, does matter because, like, if you're in your early 20s and you're living out of your car, it's not as sad as if you're in your late 30s living out of your car.
No, but if you're,
you know what I mean?
But if you're in your late 30s, if you're in your late 30s starting comedy, you've probably already had a really crappy day job, so you're still excited about it. It's still an adventure, you know?
Right. Well, you know, I sometimes when I run into the comics that are excited, it really angers me. I found them.
I hope you're snuffing that out of them.
What's that?
I said, I hope you're snuffing that passion and joy out of them.
I want to, but you know, it's like, I remember this girl sort of being like angry that I wasn't excited about a gig. And I was like, you know, you've been doing it like 2 years. Go ahead, be excited. I don't care. Don't try to... You know, infect everyone with your excitement, you know? Like,
leave the green room with your joy, Missy.
I'm a horrible old lady. Get out of here, kid.
But do you ever worry about that being like the bitter road warrior comic that we all saw coming up and go, I never want to be that person, and now here we are?
Yeah, well, I mean, sure. I think I mean, I think to stay current and relevant, you really can't let yourself get bitter. I mean, it is the, I mean, because if you look at it, there are comics that have been around for a really long time that are still, like, super hip, they're super in it.
Sure.
Like Todd Barry or Andy Kindler or, I mean, you know, there's people that are, like, have been around for a really long time and then, but they're still as hip as, you know, the, you know, the Jeselnik and whatever, and it's like, because they stay current, you know, they're on Twitter, they, like,
I think,
you know, they do cool shows. It's like, once you start going, like, once you start kind of berating everything new that happens, or this isn't how it used to be, I mean, you can kind of get into, get into trouble.
I think for comics, once we start losing the desire to create, to write, to do new things, it's pretty much off to Bitterville for us. Because really, that's all we have a lot of times. I mean, you've achieved a level of success, and some of the people that you mentioned have, but there's a lot of guys that have been doing it 30 years that have never had their shot at TV or whatever. And, you know, they're just grinding to get out on the road. So I think about those people, I'm like, if they don't love to create and perform and make new things happen, I don't know if I could be doing it for, like, 30 years, if just reciting the same 45 minutes every night.
I know. Well, I look at those guys on the road sometimes, and, you know, I work with them or whatever, and they kill.
Sure.
Destroy. You know, and then I go on, and I do, you know, a little less well than them sometimes.
Oh, no.
And they must think, like, what the fuck, you know? Like, she gets to be on TV, or she gets to do that, or whatever, and I'm the one who's killing, but it's like, I mean, I don't know what it is about why some people, you know, I mean, I guess they lack originality or something, I don't know.
You know, there's
it's weird that the industry would, hey, I mean, if the industry is like, we only want original people, I mean, that's crazy too, because it doesn't seem like something the industry would care about.
I didn't think we were going to talk about this, but I don't know if, I don't know if the industry really cares. I think at this point, I think the industry used to want original people back in the boom, you know, the 80s, the early, very early 90s. I think they used to want that. Now I think they're looking for people that already have a little juice on their own. You know, I don't remember the comic's name, but he was had a big Twitter following, and then he just went on a, who did he go on? Did he go on Jimmy Kimmel's show? Is that who it was? And he just died.
Rob Delaney.
Yes. Rob Delaney. So there's a guy that already, they thought, well, he's already got a following. All these people are going to love him.
And but Rob Delaney is funny, and Rob Delaney also was a comedian before he got his huge Twitter following. And I feel like Twitter's just another way to I mean, you can use it as a stand-up stage if you want to. I don't begrudge.
No, I don't begrudge him. Listen, if I was him and I got that opportunity, I would have done the exact same thing. Hopefully it would have gone better for me. But of course you take the opportunity. But I'm saying, like, I feel like the industry, the people who are putting this together, you know, they used to help you work on a set for these things. You know? They used to like pick and choose for better or for worse what you should be doing in your set. I mean, if you just look at the, forget about the reaction, if you just look at the material he picked, I mean, you sit back there and go, really? I mean, I don't know the guy, but is this the best 5 minutes he's got? Is this the best?
Well, here's the thing, though, but here's, as you know, if he was doing that in front of his audience, I'm sure it would have killed.
Would it have? So I don't know.
Yes, I bet. Like, Rob Delaney he's a comic where people come specifically to see him.
Right.
When you have people coming specifically to see you, you can fall into this trap where you only have to do stuff to make that audience laugh. So then when you go outside of your circle, it's like, what is this? You know, it's...
Yeah, but doesn't that just prove my point that the industry's lazy? I mean, isn't that their job to know these things, to not put Rob Delaney?
Well, he has like 250,000 Twitter followers. I mean, I guess like that's enough of a circle for the industry to figure.
I guess they're wrong. You know, well, how about doing a little work? Oh, hey, Rob, you know what? You got all these followers. Let's capture the essence of you. But maybe we should tweak this. Maybe calling your little kid like stupid or whatever, and talking about you taking a dump and him handing you an onion. Maybe that's not the best way to close your 5-minute national
I know, but they probably saw him do it in his audience. So, look, you're giving them too much credit. You think, like, they know everything there is to know about comedy. They don't.
No, I don't. I don't think they know anything about comedy.
Well, clearly, I don't know. I don't know who does it. I don't know who picks and who whatever. But it's probably not a comedian.
Well, that's another problem with the industry. You know, people who have never done this want to tell you what you're doing wrong. I've always said, you know what? If Jerry Seinfeld or Chris Rock or Joan Rivers or somebody like or Roseanne Barr sees my act and goes, listen, this is what you're doing wrong. You got to do this, that, and the other thing. You kind of listen because those are people that have been top of the mountain. When somebody who just got promoted from bar manager to comedy club manager is telling you how to do your act, you kind of got to take it with a grain of salt.
Right.
The way I always look at it.
Correct.
Yay for me! where do you think?
There is,
I have found this, because I've encountered it, I've seen it with female performers, I've heard it, there's this pervasive opinion that, like your movie says, or the title of the movie, women are not funny. Where does this come from, do you think?
I don't know. I think for comedians, guy comedians saying it, that, like, a lot of times just being provocative, you know? I don't know that they really believe it. Like, even Patrice in the movie, and I keep bringing up Patrice, but I love him so much. And, you know, he says that women aren't funny, and he's really emphatic about it. But in the end, he lists all these women that are funny. So, you know,
well, I think
he does know.
I think comics are different, though, because I have this venue that I've booked for, like, a decade, and I've tried to put female comics in, and I have, and now I can't, because the ownership always felt that female comedians weren't funny, and I've heard it from their female audience members, you know.
Me too. I've had women definitely come up and be like, as soon as you got on stage, I got so worried. Like, oh, that's nice.
What is that? What is that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know. It's like self-hating women, I guess. Look, there's a lot of women that aren't funny. But trust me, I've seen them. I watch it, too.
Oh, of
but
course.
There's also a lot of guys that aren't funny. The
True.
Problem is that guys have a lot more to weigh against it, you know? It's like the top comedians in the world are men, you know?
I don't know about like, that. I mean, there's a lot of top female comics.
I know, but I'm saying, like, throughout history, if you were to name... People always say that, you know.
Yeah, but then again, yeah. You know, gender equality is only something fairly new. You know, men had a head start when it came to performing. I mean, men used to, you know, you go back to entertainment, men used to portray the parts of women. It's only now when you go into an open mic in New York City and you see a whole slew of female open micers.
Right. But this is the thing that's weird, too, is that in the open mic scene, it's like there's a lot of women in the open mic scene. And right. Then as you get farther and farther down the line, there's less and less women.
Well, you know, I think some of it has to do with the toughness, the thick skin that you displayed very early on, that unfortunately I don't think a lot of women do have. Because you hear, whether you're a male or a female, when you're starting out, you hear a lot of terrible things. And if you internalize those things and take it personal, I think sometimes women do take it more personally than a male would, it's going to destroy you. I mean, people say horrible things to me, and that's when they're trying to be nice, you know?
I know.
So, I mean, it is a weeding out process. Then plus, you know, as women get older, a lot of them start families, and traditionally, now I know it's changing, of course, but when women start families, they're going to have the kid, and it's the woman that has to be home. So, and now you throw in that more women are working, so now they have to be a primary caregiver, work, comedy isn't paying the bills, you know, they have to give that up. What was a hobby, they can no longer pursue to the next level, unfortunately.
Right. All good points, all in the movie, by the way. I think the other thing that's also in the movie, you won't have to watch it now that I've gone through this.
Well, that's what that's what we're here for. We're trying to get everybody to watch this.
It's a much harder thing for women to go on the road. I mean, to live in the fucking condos and
absolutely.
You know, having to share, like, you know, I mean, the condos, for people who don't know, is where all the comedians stay in one place. It's like an apartment that the club rent with the comedians, but they all have to live together. Who wants, what girl wants to live with two or three other guys?
And it's never cleaned. It's
no.
It's filthy. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. And, you know, I've also, like, when I started out, I had to travel, like, we had to go on a 6-hour car ride with a guy I never met before.
Yeah, but we do that, though. I mean, it's not like I want to go with...
Yeah, you do it. Yeah, you can do it with another guy. It is a little bit of a different story for, you know...
Yes, the chances of me being raped are decreased. That being said, if the guy's a disgusting, annoying pig, he's still a disgusting, annoying pig.
They suck each other off. Yes. Okay.
Now, come on. That's only when I bring my own feature.
I try to save it for the club owner, okay?
And that is the key to success, your supple lips.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
my removable front teeth.
Oh, wow, you are a catch. Mr. Voss is a lucky
man. I got a partial plate, baby.
Nice. I do think, though, a lot of times female comedians do contribute to the feeling that women aren't as funny. Like you don't see a funny females of comedy, a funny males of comedy type thing. Like, you'll see these all-women shows, and it's supposed to be a big deal. And now I know a lot of that's the booking, that bookers won't put three females on the same show. But, I mean, do we have to call women doing comedy special at this point?
I know, it's so gross, and I got, like, three of those shows coming up, but whatever.
Of course you do, there's a paycheck involved.
But the thing is like, I don't know, I mean... The problem, I think, too, is that people aren't necessarily as discerning. Like, look, if I could put together small female shows, that would fucking kick ass. That would be amazing.
Sure.
Like, truly the greatest ever. I mean, there are women doing stand-up right now that are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think sometimes it's like you're less discerning for some reason with the ladies. Like, you just put a bunch of them on.
See, I feel that too. I mean, this is I've definitely seen that there's definitely a different standard that women are held to. I've seen it a couple different ways, and I'm just talking about the audience. As an audience member, sometimes they'll write a woman off before she even says a thing, because, like you said, you know, they have this trepidation. Oh, she's not going to be funny. She's a woman. I've seen it cut that way, and that's really annoying. And then I've seen it cut the other way, where there's a female comic going up, and her material is average at best, but the audience is going insane, and they're fawning over her after the show.
Oh, no,
have you seen that?
Okay, one of my pet peeves is when I don't like empowerment. It's so embarrassing. When people hear a woman coming to the stage, and they're like, woo!
All right, so
or whatever. It's like, you haven't even seen her yet. Like, I think we're past the point of just cheering women on because they're women.
Yes,
I mean
that's what I'm saying.
Defending your own gender,
and that's why I think women kind of feed into this, because a lot of women allow this. I mean, I don't blame them. Listen, we all love adulation.
Women do get mad. I think women get mad if.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I think they get mad if you're not like this woman that just like you're supposed to. Be behind women just because they're women a lot of times.
Yes.
I feel like that's a disservice. It really is.
It's like a girl power thing. Like a female, it's like a girl power thing. A female will be talking about something, and we'll say it's something generic, like marriage. And like in this position, like the woman told off the husband, the female comic told off her husband. And you hear a bunch of women that go, "There you go, girl." It's like, really? Because you never hear a male comic doing that type of thing, telling off his wife.
You just hear it differently. You just hear it differently.
Maybe. So. I don't know.
Men do just as many disgusting things on stage.
No, men do. But I never hear a bunch of other guys, you know, I never hear a guy comic talking badly about his wife, and then a bunch of dudes
you do. Come on.
No, hold on. Let me finish.
And then you hear guys cheering it.
No, not really, because guys wouldn't get laid.
Well, you know, maybe.
There is, but it never...
I'm not against misogynistic humor. I think it's fine. I think, you know, I don't even know if misogynistic is actually a word, but...
I think it is.
Misogyny in comedy, I think, is fine, because I feel like women can make fun of men anywhere, anytime, and it's politically correct. It's okay. You don't get fired from your job for it. But men really have to hold it in if they want to say something negative about a woman. And so I feel like comedy is like a great outlet so that they're not out,
you think,
know,
so.
Hookers and stuff.
comedy,
get rid of that.
A comedy stage should be the great equalizer, and I think that's what your movie strives to show, that hey, we all should be equals, judge us on our merit. I think that's what the documentary strives to show. And that's what I think ultimately is the goal for any, I'm going to use the word minority, even though you guys are 51% of the population in comedy, a minority. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I do think women have a few extra challenges. But I think, like, here's the thing that I think happens sometimes, is that you're kind of fed a belief that, as a woman, when you start comedy, that it's going to be easier for you. Men love to say that to women.
Oh, that's
terrible.
It's
going to be easier for you. You're going to get TV a lot faster. And in some cases, you might be getting things faster because you're a woman, but on the other side of things, they're harder, too. So it's, you know, in a way, I think women are held back also in terms of, like, the audience. Like, when you go on stage, you know, you're... for the most part, is you have to prove yourself wrong. You know what I mean? You have to prove yourself unfunny.
Right.
Kind of give it to you in the beginning.
I understand. Well, I mean, I think everybody only gets 30
seconds.
Well,
you know, you have that little bit of an extra challenge where, you know, you can't be really silly right off the bat. You can't be too out there right off the bat. You have to kind of, like, show them that you're going to be funny, and then you can, you know, kind of take them where you want. But at the same time, I think, like, that can also work to your advantage. Like, I always thought, like, oh, they don't think I'm going to be funny. So if I'm funny at all, I'm going to go over their expectations and I'm going to kill it.
The lowered expectations helps you prove them that much more wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that works in my favor a lot of the time. But, I mean, it's like you can't just say the same thing that works for you will work for this black guy or this Asian guy or this woman or this whatever. It's like... in comedy, it's an art. It's like you have to find out exactly what works for you specifically, and then you have to translate that to an audience of people that don't know you, that don't have your exact same experiences, and then, you know, and then make it funny.
I think, because what you said just made me think, think about this. I think for a live performance, and if you're an unknown, if everybody's unknown, men or women, everybody, all things being equal, I think for a live performance, a lot of ways, it's more difficult for a female comic. I think if you can survive that and pay some amount of dues, I do think opportunities for television and greater projects do come a little bit quicker. Maybe just because there's not as many women out there. And
I think it's a myth. I honestly do. If you look at Letterman, you know, they have two women on. You know, they have a lot less women than there are, than it is, what do you call it, ratio-wise of how many women are in stand-up, you know?
Right.
When I interviewed the Booker for Letterman, when Eddie Bill was doing it for the movie, he said they use about two a year regardless of any other comedians. If they have 25 comics on, they use two. If they have 12 comics on, they use two. They use about two women a year. That's not a lot.
No, that's crazy.
You know? Comedy Central has a very... They usually have one woman doing the half hours every year.
See, I never noticed the Comedy Central thing, but for Eddie Brill to flat out say, if we have 25 spots every year, we're only going to take two, it's ludicrous.
Well, it's like, they get to fall back on, it's our audience, you know, like Comedy Central says, well, our audience are 14-year-old boys, we get to put on what they want to see, you know. And so, as a woman, you're kind of left in the cold a lot of times, because what are you going to do? You're going to go do Lifetime or Oxygen or Nick Baum, where it's this whole other kind of thing. If you're a female comic that doesn't necessarily embrace female comedy, you're kind of stuck.
You mean by female comedy, you mean the traditional female comedy of the relationship type of thing? That type of...
So if Lifetime goes out looking for women for a comedy show, or whatever that show was, I don't know what network it was on, it was like... called, you know, Funny in Stilettos or something. I don't remember. But the Stilettos is in the fucking title of the show. I mean, are you kidding me?
It could have been cross dressing.
The thing about comedy is that you're wearing some high heel, some fuck me pumps.
But you know, but there is.
If you're doing that show, then you have to do female centric humor. You know, that's what they want. That's what they're looking for, because that's their audience, they believe.
But see, I think a lot of, and not all, I think a lot of females automatically gear themselves to female-centric comedy. Now, a couple people you mentioned, Ellen DeGeneres did not. She was more topical, more of like, not topical, but wacky, like a Seinfeld type of wacky.
Silly, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Janine Garofalo, I mean, she really did not play with her, you know, her sexuality one way or the other at all. I mean, she's never really been about that.
To me, the best comedians in the world aren't really doing relationship stuff.
I agree.
Much. I mean, I don't know why. I feel like it's overdone, so for me, it's not my favorite.
I think I feel the same way, and I think that's because we're immersed in this, and we see it, and
yes.
It's not really breaking new ground. But for the average person seeing it, sitting at home or watching in the club, it's what they can relate to because most people are in a relationship of some sort.
Right, absolutely. And you're sitting there with your spouse or your...
Right. Significant
whatever.
Other. Yeah. So what...
Your date.
What happened?
Nothing. I was just saying, or your date. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I mean, women do sense female sense of humor because they're women. I mean, at some point... It's kind of addressed that you're a woman.
Well, and guys do the same thing. I mean, I'm not a big fan of guys talking about their dick for 45 minutes. You know?
Exactly.
It's, you know, a woman talking about a vagina or a guy talking about his penis for 45 minutes has the same effect on me. After a couple of minutes, I'm just like, really? Is this all that there is to this person? There's nothing else interesting?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I might be in the minority with that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Excuse me?
Well, I think people do love dick jokes. Well, I think God's word, wherever you go.
Well, dick jokes are universal. Who doesn't like to talk about my junk?
Yeah.
What made you decide to do this documentary?
Well, you know, I had a baby, and then I couldn't write anymore. So I wrote a piece called Women Are Funny a long time ago, and then I said to Rich, you know, I always sort of thought I'd like to do a documentary about it. Mm-hmm. He was, like, on board with it. He was like, let's do it. That's the thing about Rich. Like, once he decides to do something, he literally starts doing it that minute. So
that's awesome.
He called a few people. He lined up for it. I mean, he just started right there. If it was me, I probably, like, I'd already been thinking about it for years. So I don't know if I would ever really done it.
So Rich was Rich was actually the fuel in the engine to get going. It was Rich's
Yeah. I mean... Because also, like, I imagine it as a very small project. I'd done all these projects when I lived in Los Angeles. They were small little, you know, I don't know why I never really, you know. I mean, I did, like, a short film with Patton Oswalt and with Zach Galifianakis and these things that I never showed anybody and stuff. And now I feel like, why didn't I do that?
Sure.
But I didn't think about it as, like, this huge thing, just something to do. And then, you know, it just got bigger and bigger and more, you know, Rich just kept getting bigger people to do it.
I should tell the audience, because I don't know if everybody knows, the Rich we're talking about is Rich Voss, who's another comedian who's had a lot of success, who is Bonnie McFarlane's husband. So that's the Rich we're talking about.
You know who he is. People know who he is. He's a big act.
He's a big star. We're all big stars. Well, a lot of people do, but, you know, not everybody does if you're not a comedy fan.
They do.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
All right. All right.
I think you have listeners all over the world.
Well, we do, actually.
You in Australia. You might not be a lot.
We actually get a lot of hits from Western Africa, but that's a whole different topic. Seriously, is
welcome, new listeners.
That's what was. I want Rich Voss and Bonnie McFarlane to be global. That's all I'm doing.
Yes, thank you. Keeping it out there.
That's what I do.
So we just started doing it, and then it became this big thing that I fucking wanted to quit so many times. I was like, I'd drive to editing, and I'd be crying. I'd be like, I can't do it. I mean, we had like a lot. We had like 60 or 70 hours of footage that I had to like narrow down into 80 minutes.
Ponderous.
You mentioned
that you got a lot of big people. Let's just read off just a few of these people that you have for Women Aren't Funny. You have Chris Rock, Dane Cook, Rosie O'Donnell, Joan Rivers, Joy Behar, and this is just a few. I mean, it's like a who's who.
Sarah Silverman, Wanda Sykes, Lisa Lampanelli.
It's amazing. Opie and Anthony.
Yeah. Yep.
Was it hard to get these people?
What's that?
Was it hard to get them for the movie?
Well, Artie Lang was one of the first people. Well, actually, you know, Jim Norton and Opie and Anthony were the first ones. But then we did Artie.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, you know, we'd done those people, it just it just got easier and easier. Then Chris Rock did it, and then you know once you start saying who's in it, people just were like, yeah.
It makes it gets bigger and bigger. It's like, wow, this must be really a great project. So that's great.
Yeah. So I mean, there was people that wouldn't do it. Patton Oswalt wouldn't do it.
Why not?
He's, you know, he said that he was, he'd done a lot of that stuff. I mean, he's really fucking famous. So he was like, I don't know, I got a lot of stuff like that already done. You know, I think he'd just done a documentary or something. And then Zach Galifianakis, who's a friend of mine, was like in the middle of the, you know, biggest movie event in the world, when he was like trying, he kept, three or four times he tried to like meet up to do an interview and he never could make it.
What was he making? What was he making?
Against them, I mean.
Was he making Hangover 2? Is that what he was doing?
Yeah.
Okay. So was there a comedian that that completely blew you away by what they said in the movie?
Well, there was comedians like Doug Stanhope, but I didn't know, because, you know, he's like a really original thinker. And
yeah.
You know, I never knew what people were going to, what side they were going to fall on. And that's the thing about comedians. They always fall on a side. I mean, they never just like, whoa. Nobody's hedging their bets, you know.
No, it's always black or white, unfortunately.
People are taking one side or the other because that's what comedians do. You know, we're provocative or whatever. I mean, early on, a filmmaker was like, I was talking to this documentary guy, and he was like, the problem you're going to have is no one will go on record of saying women aren't funny. And I was like, really? I never thought of that. Like, I never thought that might happen. And he was completely...
Well, that makes sense, though. I mean, if you think about it, look at the flack Jerry Lewis got for it.
I don't know. He didn't say it. He did fucking say it. Artie Lang had no problem saying it. Batiste had no problem saying it. You know, Ant had no problem saying it. With a lot of people.
Well, that's good, though. It makes a more provocative film.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was good. And then for Doug Stanhope, I didn't know he was going to say women are funny or women aren't funny. I mean, he's a female opener, so... So, but he said he fell on the side that women aren't. That was a nice thing.
So Doug has an unfunny female open for him just to make it easier for him. Okay, Doug.
Well, this is what they do. That was another one that was like, women aren't funny. And then he lists all these funny women, you know.
You know, it's almost like they're not really thinking
for,
about it.
Or, you know, it's
like women aren't funny, but here's a whole list of exceptions. But women aren't funny is such a blanket statement. And if you make exceptions, you just disprove what you're saying.
You got it, man. I don't know. The whole thing wasn't really supposed to be this big, serious thing anyway. It was like, you know, I just don't think that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hitchens, who I love his writing. I've been a fan of his writing for a long time before he wrote that article. He wrote an article in Vanity Fair called Funny.
Right.
And, you know, we got really, really mad about it. And I was like, some of it seems bad. And some of it resonated with me. I felt like some of it was kind of true.
Right.
And the other part of it, that it just seemed like that's good writing to be, you know?
Right.
You know, instead of, like, pulling back, well, there are, you know, he just went for it. I thought it was kind of interesting, I guess, that he, to me, that's the easy side, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hitchens, he always takes the really hard, he doesn't believe in God, so he wrote a whole book about, you know, God's great. So, to me, the hard side to take would be women are funny, but...
Interesting.
Whatever.
What's the feedback been on the film?
So people really like it. It's really funny. That was the whole goal. It's just to make a very funny movie with a lot of funny comedians in it. Maria Bamford's really funny in it. Chelsea Peretti, Sarah Silverman. I mean, they're really, really funny in the movie. And the men are really, really funny too, but I mean, it's like having these great guys and great women side by side all being funny. It's kind of like, to me, that's, you know, enough said.
It kind of proves your point. I mean, they're going toe-to-toe with some of the great male comedians of the day.
Right, exactly. So, I mean,
do you think you're going to change anybody's mind with the film? Do you think somebody's going to look at this and go, you know what? Women are funny?
Well, I don't, I mean, it really wasn't my goal. I mean, I just think, like, if you don't think women are funny, I mean, there's been so many funny women throughout the years, and so much of, like, our beloved memories of television and movies have included funny women, that if you don't think it, then there's, it's like racism. It's like you can't, I mean, I don't know how to help you.
Right. Well, now, racism makes sense. I understand racism, but I don't understand
racism. Racism.
So, all right, so...
No, my next movie is called Black People Can't Swim.
Can you interview me for that one?
Yeah.
Great, that'll be awesome. Because I plan on, like, using a black person as, like, a surfboard and riding him in the ocean.
That's nice.
No, I think it'll add a little pizzazz, a little talking point for your next film. I'd love to be part of it.
Yes. We'll like to get some footage of that.
Where can people see Women Aren't Funny?
Well, we are, you know, the thing is we have some online stuff going on, which hasn't started yet because we would really like to premiere it on a network, so we're sort of holding out for that for a little bit.
Has there been some network interest?
We haven't shown it to anyone yet.
Oh, that's a good way to keep it a secret. Good job.
Yeah, we're really trying to... cloak it in secrecy.
Well, coming on this show is a good start for that.
Well, we don't know, you know, look, we don't know what we're doing.
I got you.
I don't know if we're supposed to use an agent, a distributor, or what.
It's a brave new world.
Yeah, we have interest from agents and distributors, but we just haven't...
Well, that's exciting.
...decided on one yet.
That's exciting. So, I mean, either way, though, this has been worth it for you, no matter what happens. Whether you get on a network or not, this has just been a great experience for you?
No. It's got to go on a network.
Oh, otherwise this whole thing sucks and it's been a complete waste of time.
This whole thing. Yeah. No. I tell myself. No, I mean, it's, you know, for me, like, I'm not, I have a weird pathology. Like, I don't care what happens to stuff after I finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the desk and stuff. But, I was really, really excited, like, when we were in, you know, we were in, like, three festivals now, and to have people watch it and like it, you know, it felt really good.
That's great.
Really good to hear people laughing and enjoying it.
Well, I hope to experience that one day.
The side of Bonnie McFarlane.
Oh, that's so sweet. I feel like we've kind of, like, peeled away like an onion of a comic on the Kimmel Show being handed to him by his son as he takes a dump. I feel like that's where we are.
Yes, very nice.
Well, Bonnie, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us.
You better, yeah. It's just been fun for me.
That's right, bitches, you better. The movie is Women Aren't Funny. It's going to be on a major network soon. Bonnie, is there a tour date you want to plug where people can see you coming up?
I don't know, when is this airing?
No, just for you, if you're going to be someplace. Where is this airing?
No, but I don't know what to plug if I don't know when this.
This goes all over the world. This is all over the world.
When? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow night.
I'm asking. Okay, it's like a Tuesday.
Yes, but then people people download it on iTunes and Android and all sorts of places. It's here forever. There's nothing you can do about this, Bonnie. You're screwed.
Okay, hang on. I'm gonna get my. Hang on.
I'm hanging in the middle of an interview.
On the 20th.
Yes.
Oh. I can't plug stuff because I don't know where that is.
Okay. You know what? Go online, find Bonnie McFarlane, check her out what you see her.
Tweet me. Follow me on Twitter and I tweet stuff.
Follow Bonnie on Twitter. Twitter. I can't even say it now. Follow Bonnie McFarlane.
Long Island Comedy Festival. That's right. That's one of them. I think that's Friday night.
You know, it's very sad that Rich Voss is the organized one in this relationship.
I know. People always go, get Rich to call me. I know you're a little better at that stuff. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's funny.
Happening.
Well, Bonnie, thank you again. Wish you guys the best of luck with this. I'm sure it's going to get picked up by a major network soon, and more good things are going to happen for you because women are funny.
Right, man. All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. Care.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. So there you go. That was the interview with Bonnie McFarlane. I thought she came off very well, but that's just me. What are your thoughts?
I think she's very funny. I didn't have any idea how many great comedians are involved in this film.
Oh, it's like a who's
who. Wow.
Yeah, they did a good job.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? I mean, I don't know if it's along the same lines, but it's kind of reminding me of The Aristocrats.
Oh, well, right, with just the ensemble cast of great comedians.
Right, right.
If you guys got an opinion, numbers 845-986-8804, 845-986-8804, or just continue hanging out in the chat with Pippi Elix. She's got you there. Yeah, it's quite amazing, the names that she puts in. So, of course, I mean, you see that list of names. How is it not going to be on HBO or Showtime or something like
really?
That?
Really? It sounded like it's snowballed. Like, she got her friend comedians involved, and then, you know, one or two other people picked up, and then once they heard...
Well, that's what she said. She started with Opie and Anthony and Jimmy Norton, who are their friends, and then, you know, like you said, it kind of snowballed. They say, hey, I'm doing this. Hey, you know, I'm that. What?
The chat says, it's a veritable who's that of comedy.
What assholes.
They have been beating me up left, right, and center.
They've been beating you up.
Well, or the show, but I'm here watching it.
Why are they beating up the show? I wasn't even talking.
Oh, no. They're being their usual silly selves. It was funny.
They wanted the interview. They demanded the interview. Did they crap on the interview? Is that what they're doing? Are they crapping on the interview?
No. You know what? It was a little hard to sometimes make out what she was saying.
Yes, it was.
The cellular telephone thing.
That was her phone.
But they went off into a whole tangent about who was on call waiting. And
I love the fact that this is what they want to know, how to solve tech problems and who is calling my studio line.
Oh, no, we decided that it was Joe Padula because he had gone back in time and he was coming to save the show from the tech issues.
Oh, that was not the Joe I thought they were going to say.
No, it was Joe Padula showing up. And
well, Mr. Quantum Leap, you failed.
Because of various problems, like in the movie, clothes were disappearing and then coming back on.
Well, clothes were disappearing. He was definitely snapping photos of himself. Man, I look good. Look at my glutes.
At one point, he was wearing a camo smoking jacket. There was a lot going on in the chat.
You know what? Listen, however the show entertains you, folks, you do with it as you will. That's the joys of live. You can do your own shit.
And the joys of, you know, doing the Mystery Science Theater 2000 in the chat as we do the show.
You know what? That's cool, though.
You know what?
It's better than them saying horrible things to us.
There are many levels to this show.
I haven't found any. But
we keep digging them deeper and deeper.
I thought some of her opinions were kind of surprising.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think that it made me think when she said that she thought that the relationship humor is kind of over because everybody's done it. I mean, it is very relatable because everybody.
Well, that's what I was kind of saying. You know what? The audience still dug that.
They did.
There's a whole cruise ship industry and comedy based on that.
Yeah, she might be bored with it, but
she is.
Yeah, but I have to disagree because it really does. You know, it's a popular seller.
Ward Anderson of the Ward and Al show got very upset when she played the rape card with going with it. She's like, you know what? You're distrusting everybody by doing that, you know, by saying a guy could rape you.
You know.
And he also got upset. It was like, well, you know, 14-year-old boys. He's like, well, you know what? When I was trying to push my book, which he originally got a deal for, you know, they say women only buy novels. You know, women are the only ones who buy fiction, and they're not going to want to buy this type of fiction and everything. So Ward's point was, whatever facet of show business, there's going to be pluses and negatives for each type of group.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is true that, I mean, like, for example, in comedy, they were saying that, you know, Ellen DeGeneres and Janine Garofalo, I believe you were saying.
I was.
Yeah, that they didn't necessarily go into the relationship type of comedy. They talked about, a much broader spectrum.
Right.
And I always enjoyed that because it wasn't just about, oh, another story about my boyfriend. It's like, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. You know, I like to hear that, too, because it is relatable, but it was entertaining to me, and it seemed like it was... reaching out a little bit that they were able to talk about things in the world because women are often criticized about all you talk about is ripping down other women and talking about the relationship.
Because that's what most of them do.
I know, and it's boring.
But, you know, she's right. But there's not... The other comics are starting to... Female comics are starting to do that less now.
Yeah.
You're getting more of the trippy, boring female comics like you have the trippy, boring male comics now. Well, the ones not writing punchlines.
But I do want you... I do want you to explain Ward's comment about the – he got upset about the rape thing.
When we were talking about when she was saying it's harder for a woman to travel with a man – because, you know, she played, you know, because, you know, he could rape her.
Right.
You know, he's like, you know what, how many, it's kind of like far flung that you're going to be traveling with a male comic who's going to rape you. I think that was Ward's point.
Ward, I mean, from the female perspective, I kind of understand that. Not to say that you think that, you know, every male, like, co-employee, I guess I'll say, in this respect, you don't look at every man as, you know what, he's probably going to try to take advantage of me. But
I'm just biding my time.
Oh, that's so damn evil.
Are you new?
Yeah, I'm new to the show. But there always is a fear of vulnerability, perhaps, that, you know, when I don't have statistics at the tip of my fingers because I wasn't expecting to speak about this right now, but the statistics of how many women are either sexually assaulted or, you know...
Yeah, but not by, like, road comics.
By anyone. Throughout their lives.
Well, listen,
it's astounding.
I mean, listen, anything can happen. Chances are, if you're being hired to work with a guy, they've probably worked with other females and everything. And
you would hope.
And, you know, for a minimal amount of money, they will travel together and not rape a girl. I mean, we've kind of established this already.
Yes, I know. But, yeah. Well, my point being that whenever you're traveling with, you know, a man that is not, like, a good friend of yours and or, you know, a family member or mm-hmm. your spouse or something, there's always that little bit of I really do have to keep on top of my toes here. And I'm not saying that road comedians are like, you know, rapists in waiting. It's not.
Well, we
it's
are.
It's not something about comedians in
we
particular.
Are predators.
But if I was supposed to go and travel with somebody from my day job mm-hmm. and say go to a convention and had to share a room, I would really think twice about that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, but I mean, it's uncomfortable for guys too.
I'm sure.
I mean,
sure,
you know,
but
especially if the girl's hot.
Well, yeah.
How am I not going to rape her? can't continue. Look at this piece of ass.
What if that audacious blonde throws herself at me?
How is my penis not going to wind up inside her? Why is the agency doing this to me? Now I have all these pressures. Because, you know, if it's a guy, he's just going to accept it.
Well, because, you know, when guy comedians travel together, there's definitely rapage. But nobody talks about it.
You know? If only Joe was still part of the show, then we could get Joe to open up about all the trips that the Davins Den tour took together.
Oh, yeah,
all the rape stories that up until tonight we've been hiding.
Delicious.
Rape. Rape is funny.
Yeah, but rape between men is really funny. No.
It's smart. Who wants to go on a long car ride after that?
You know what?
Better hope there's no bumpy roads.
Yeah, I might fall right into your anus. It happens.
It's the worst come online ever.
Excuse me. Be careful the bumpy road. I might fall into your anus.
It's quite the cavity.
Actually, you have to sing that to yourself to the tune of Fall Into the Gap. And it's quite jaunty.
What? The commercial?
Yeah.
All right. How's it go? How would it go?
Fall into the gap.
No, I mean, but the anus version. Sing it.
Fall into my anus.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to catch
on.
No,
it's not going to catch
on. No,
I
don't think
that's going
to work.
Okay, well, I tried.
All right. Well, you've taken a completely respectable conversation and thrown it into your anus.
I just had to go there. You know what the chat room is saying? Comedian rape.
Every friggin' Tuesday night, these mother fudgers in the chat room are raping us. I'm getting passed around like a whore.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
I do, but I thought, you know what? This interview was taped. I'm not even talking. Maybe they'll just leave me alone for one night. The coach already lit into me. Can't Sally be left alone?
Wait a second. Oh, man. The chat is being very bad.
Bad chat.
Bad chat.
What do we do? What's going on?
They said rape victims are tattletales. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, they do have a point. I mean, can't we just keep this a secret between us? Me, you, your therapist in 20 years. Can't we just hush up?
For 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's more like it.
Yeah, well, either or both. You know, listen. Right.
And also, their other point was, gay rape has to smell worse than straight rape.
Can you douche an anus?
I I don't even know.
These are the hard-hitting questions.
Well,
that you...
I don't even know what to say, Hawk. I don't know what to say.
We got Hawk in there?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what to say.
That's awesome. Now we've corrupted a perfectly good, I'm assuming, rock and roll station. I'm assuming it's somebody from Hawk Radio, although I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Maybe somebody's posing as Hawk using anus douchebaggery.
I don't know, but they're pretty sure that they have the straight poop on gay rape.
Huddle a huddle a hoe.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Hi. Is there anything else on this interview that you would like to discuss?
Wait a second. Let me get my mind out of the gutter for a second.
Let me get your mind out of the anus.
Well, I thought it was, I thought it was funny that when you said, well, you know, what made you think about, the title? Oh, I don't know.
I know. But, you know, I kind of felt like she was... By the end, she was really herself.
Yeah, she was. She had to build into the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. By the end, I felt like, all right, this is just two people chatting. Which is hard, because I've never met the woman before. Never spoken to her. Just had a few emails back and forth asking her to do this.
Oh, I really didn't get that impression. I thought you guys knew each other.
Never.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, very good.
No, I thanked her afterwards for it. She goes, oh, thanks. Had a great time. Love to talk comedy anytime. I go, well, you know, I hope we get to some point we get to share a stage or hang out and take the light out of some young comic's eyes.
Beat them into submission.
Just two bitter comics. She's successful. I'm here. But just two bitter comics.
Hazing a young hopeful.
Exactly. One of us, let's be honest, has a lot more to be bitter about than the other. But
I'm not sure which one you're talking about, to be perfectly honest.
But I really didn't know what to expect with her, to be honest. You know? And I thought it was cool. I hope people enjoyed it. You know, who knows? We don't do a lot of comedy interviews.
No. And you know what? And it is difficult to do that because there's something lost in the translation when you have a teeny time delay because of cell phonery.
Yes.
You know? But, you know, it was interesting hearing you talk about a project. I hope to get to see it soon.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that out. You know?
Yeah.
Definitely want to check that. Well, you know, we didn't even get the scammers tonight.
We've
been very slow on the scammers the past few weeks.
Yeah, you know what? We will catch up more next week.
Don't worry, kids. I'm still working for you. I'm still wasting way too much time with this nonsense.
I'm behind on my soap opera. I missed my stories.
There was not much covered last week.
Okay.
Basically, what was covered last week was she had a dream where I met her family at a funeral. Right,
oh.
So that was basically, so she's now dreaming about me in death situations, much like our former co-host, I'm sure, did.
Constantly.
Much like I'm sure the chat room does.
the chat has been, I think, picturing us both in death scenarios.
You know it's a good show when they go, hey, remember when we could barely hear them through the static? Those were good times.
That was awesome. When we had hopes. We had hopes that once the static disappeared, that the show would progress. No. And their hopes were dashed.
I don't know. Well, you know what? If they had those hopes, then they are new to this show.
I think
everybody
are.
Knows tech issues are programmed into the show. That isn't show prep.
Absolutely.
We are going to dick around for 45 minutes.
Can you hear me now?
it did really bring up to the point the fact that now when there are just two of us.
Yeah,
it is a lot hard. Like, and I had an issue with one of the stations last week when it was just Joe and myself.
Yeah,
and I had to take an early break again.
Oh.
But it was on their end, and we got it fixed.
You know, it does.
This I was like, I hope I can fix this.
there are just too many balls in the air. You'll pardon the pun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
hopefully they'll land in a nice anus somewhere. Balls deep in anus,
or it's a red ball gag. You don't want to confuse the two.
No, I certainly do. That leaves a bad taste in my mouth. That joke. Huddle, huddle, ho, ha, ho, ho.
They really did enjoy the call waiting signs. Sounds,
fuck
by the way.
Off, fuck off. Who the hell calls my studio live?
I know, and it was twice during.
I know. What are you going to do? You know what? Friggin' get us a contract somewhere, stupid, where I don't have to put up with this. I'm working my ass off for you people for very little.
You've got mail.
I know. You know, as much as I try for this to be something.
Oh, no, I know.
But every so often, the reality of a boop.
Oh, please.
Or if you've got mail, makes it abundantly clear what Davin's Den is in reality.
Oh, please. If I had tried to do this at home, all you'd hear is cats meowing and the doorbell and then Spanish people talking to me and not listening to the answers.
But
that's all you'd get from me.
But in our defense, and I don't know if it really helps our case, this does prove the difference between doing something live.
Yes.
And a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And my laziness, because I guess I could have tried to edit out those beeps. But, you know. But, no, I mean, like, that's just the way
it
is.
You actually couldn't have, because they were happening during speech.
I know.
So
I know.
No, you know what? Warts and all, that's how you have to take us, kids.
Well,
as long as they're not venereal warts, we're good.
We are warty.
speaking
of warty or warty, hopefully next week we're going to have Ward Anderson call in and Allison Dore. I'm going to plug them again, but they just got signed to Sirius XM.
Oh, plug them. They like it.
They
plug them hard.
They started as a podcast, and now they're with Sirius XM in Canada. So I will be picking their brain to find out how to do that. So I don't know. It's not confirmed, but I've spoke briefly with Ward about it. I think it'd be kind of interesting.
Fun.
To find out, and you know they can talk, because they're going to be debuting in May on Sirius XM and everything. So it should be kind of interesting. And it's not just in Canada. It's going to be all over the United States. It's a Canadian station,
right?
But it's all over the
U.S. Like Hawk is.
So
based in Canada, but you can hear it any place your computer is.
Very well done.
Thank you.
We love our HawkRadio.net.
We do. Hi, Joey.
He's not there. He's on vacation.
Oh, that's right. Well, he'll listen back
all right.
Because you know he loves to listen back to all the download our podcast and listen back to them when
yes.
he's away.
Yes.
Of course he does.
That's what he does. Sure he does. All right. Let's do some plugs, the most scintillating part of the show, right there with tech issues.
Yeah, really.
And then I guess that's it. I'm sorry, no scammers tonight. But the soap opera continues. We can't give you what you want every week.
We're going to say goodbye to our pal Trucker Tom. Be safe out there. He's
drive safe, Tom.
Severe weather.
He's in severe weather?
Yeah.
Where is he, in the Midwest? Oh, he must be by Colorado?
I think he was supposed to be near Omaha, and he's being told he's got to take cover.
Oh,
right now because of severe weather coming. So
good luck, Tom.
Good luck.
Be safe. And remember, the lot lizard you saved today could be your wife tomorrow. What? No? No good?
Oh, no. That's good. It could be true.
He's a very considerate human being.
He is.
All right. Let's
I was looking out for the most unfortunate looking. I mean, the most unfortunate.
Why do you think he tunes into this show?
Yes, he takes pity on us.
Yeah. He never watched on video. Smart man.
No.
Although
no.
He used to when we were at the compound.
Yes, he did.
That's where we did meet.
That's where we met him.
Our good friend Trucker Tom. All right. Success Martial Arts. Great for learning karate and self-defense.
Hi-ya!
Right. That would be the lousiest key up ever.
Ha!
That's hot.
Thank you.
It's like balls just fell into your anus.
They did.
Why am I ruining this plug with anusry?
You said plug.
Damn it! The next line says perfect together, too. I've ruined this plug!
I love it when it just keeps making you laugh harder.
Okay. Success Martial Arts. I'm going to... Great for learning karate and self-defense. Perfect to do together as a family or by yourself. Whether you want to learn in a class environment or you want private lessons, Success Martial Arts is the dojo for you. They also have after-school programs for the kids. Give them a call at 845-469-1716. 845-469-1716. Or check them out at smacenters.com. Francesco's, if you are in the mood for great Italian food, then you need to go to Francesco's in Woodland Park, New Jersey. Chef owner Frank Giancarelli cooks authentic Italian cuisine made with the freshest ingredients and panache. They'll make Francesco's your place to go with friends and family. The restaurant has a Mediterranean decor done in a non-pretentious way. It feels cozy and intimate, yet it is still elegant. Francesco's even has a private party room where you can host family get-togethers and corporate functions. Francesco's features off-site catering as well. Stop by Francesco's for lunch or dinner at 568 McBride Avenue in Woodland Park, New Jersey. I didn't like the way I read that. I'm like 568, like I was reading a phone number. Yuck. 568 McBride Avenue, Woodland Park, New Jersey. Or give them a call at 973-925-1100. Again, that number is 973-925.
You think I memorized it?
No. 1100. Play31.net. Oh, sorry.
I know, right? Oops.
No, that station's not around. Oops.
No, I was just going to say that really was a phone number right there.
Yeah, well. You can even go to their website at francescos-restaurant.com, francescos-restaurant.com, and when you call, don't forget to ask them about their next comedy night. We'll have another one coming up. Obsession Studios of Wayne, New Jersey is a new state-of-the-art studio, open 7 days a week. It features 6 rehearsal rooms, 3 recording rooms, and a fantastic music hall. Obsession Studio is booking bands for Friday and Saturday nights. To learn more about everything Obsession Studios has to offer, call 973-932-4844, 973-932-4844, or go to their website, obsessionsstudios.com. I also know their the house band McClinton has a big tour coming up with some pretty known acts. The lead singer of White Lion, Mike Tramp, supposed to be doing something. Supposed to be doing something with Eric Martin of Mr. Big. So they got so they got some good stuff. Good things are happening for McClinton.
Wow.
It's amazing how that happens.
Wow.
What? I what?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
I've been very good.
Yes.
It's amazing how good things happen. JamesThomasWebDesign.com.
James Thomas.
Really?
I had to.
I thought we got rid of it. Because that'd be the last week of that.
Okay, I liked it, though.
Really? Well, yes. There's the contribution. JamesThomasWebDesign.com. Every platform, every browser, every type of social media. It is hard to do it now without that. They have it covered. If you want your website to make an impression and you want the best technical support, JamesThomasWebDesign.com is the company for you. Check them out at JamesThomasWebDesign.com and tell them Davin's Den sent you for a special discount. Side-splitting productions for comedians, DJs, murder mysteries, bands, impersonators, whatever you need. Sidesplittingproductions.com. Number is 551-404-3094. 551-404-3094. Sidesplittingproductions.com. Pip Helix, where can people hear this lovely show?
Well, if you've been listening carefully, you've been listening on hawkradio.net or Wicked Radio, WKAD, Clutch and Wiggle. See it jiggle. I love that name.
What the hell is that?
It's, I don't know what that's from.
Oh, right. That's just one of the voices in your head.
It's Jell-O. It's a Jell-O commercial.
All right. Fine. So, I guess there's always room for a Jell-O jingle. Wiggle.
I hear it in my head every time I say Clutch and Wiggle.
Okay. I'm glad you finally voiced that tonight.
I had to.
Where's the static when we need it?
CyanNetRadio.com. TalkSuperStation.com from 7 to 9. And in May, you'll hear us on Renegade.
Yes, Renegade.
Yes. And
Renegade Radio.
You can download us on PodAlmighty.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, DavinComedy.com, the Android app, CyanNetEase's TuneIn Radio. And to look back at our Compound shows, you can go to...
We're still plugging these, really?
Why not?
Okay.
Ustream.tv/channel/live from the compound.
It's also on our website.
I know. I was taught that. Oh, yeah? You can see all those?
Yeah.
From the
website? It links back to that, but yeah, you can get there from our website.
Okay, there you go.
DavinComedy.com.
So that's where you find us.
Yeah.
If you're not here live with us.
Exactly. If you're not here live with us, you should be here live with us because they're having a party! All right. Some shows we would like to acknowledge. Ward and Al are your daily dose of radio popcorn. I almost read that wrong. Popcorn. I almost forgot some vowels and consonants in the middle of that. Monday through Friday, your favorite jackass. You getting what I almost read? Monday through Friday, your favorite jackasses talk about news of the day, current trends in pop culture, and interview the stars of today and yesterday. Ward and Al, Toronto comedians Ward Anderson and Allison Dore, and they're ready to take their lack of chemistry right into your ears. So much fun, you'll think you're masturbating. Listen to them at wardandal.com and on iTunes, and coming up in May on Sirius Satellite XM Radio.
Woo!
Very proud of
good
our pals.
For you guys.
Very proud of our pals. It's light at the hope of the end. It's light at the end of the tunnel. Of course, in our case, it'll be a train.
What's all that noise? What's that static? Oh, now it sounds like rumbling. It's a train.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe this friend on satellite will help. Turd Pants is a weekly audio and sometimes video podcast hosted by Fluffy from Fluffy Talks on YouTube, Mike Wixon from The Humble and Fred Show, and Massimo from Massimo's Definition on YouTube. They talk about all kinds of wild shit. YouTube, the messed up news, stuff that happens to them in real life, and most of the time their discussion ends with some kind of gross conclusion.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. There was nothing for you to say.
Oh, okay.
No, I was just taking a breath.
Oh, okay. You're allowed to do that occasionally.
Thank you.
I was just keeping up with the chatters for
me. The chatters are still going live.
Yeah.
I hope they don't notice that there was a show going on.
No, God forbid.
It's like a real life chat room.
I know, it really is. It's like, huh? What?
It's growing like a tumor. The Carrie Edelman Show interviews, explores, and delves. It sounds really sexual when you read it like that. Explores and delves.
Oh, yeah. I've heard it that way all the time. It's sort of like I hear the Jell-O commercial in my head.
Explores and delves into the lives of some of the most fascinating and interesting musicians, comedians, writers in the entertainment industry today. Check out her show live Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. To listen live or check out the past shows, go to blogtalkradio.com/Carrie Edelman. Check her out. She's got very good. Very good interviewer. Rain Man and Guy Blow Show, I got this as I was wrapping up the show last week. We need a Jew. Can you call in?
Are you the representative for the whole tribe?
I was the Jew they needed, apparently.
Okay.
I think it was about the killing
a Jew.
Well, this was post-Easter, so there was still some reticence, upsetness about us with the Lord and Savior.
Really?
And I was the Jew.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, what really made this really uncomfortable and awkward for me, I mean, I love those guys, but what really made this awkward and uncomfortable was they were more drunk than usual.
That's saying a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, the Rain Man and Guy Blow Show, there's always a little bit of a buzz going on, but they were shit-faced. But I love those guys. They're very entertaining, and you should definitely listen to the Rain Man and Guy Blow Show at RainManGuyBlow.com, the Crystal Palace of Comedy with news, interviews, and original content. And tune in live every Thursday at 9 p.m. And subscribe to the podcast once again at RainManGuyBlow.com. Check it out. And if you check out last week's show, you can hear me feeling very uncomfortable.
Oh boy!
I knew they were bombed because they called me like a professional.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, you said that right. It's like,
hey,
wow.
Hey, Guy Blow, blow into this. Yeah, I want to see the numbers.
Yeah. When I'm the bar, you're crawling over it.
to get to the bar.
Yes. The Watson and Watson Show. Watson and Watson Show was born from a labor of love. See, I get what they did there. Now that I'm reading it, labor. I get that. Or should we say constant disagreement? I guess we shall. It's their read. Judy and Johnny Watson, a.k.a. mother and son, are constantly battling each other on different issues of life, from politics to sports to proper parenting, or in Italian family terms, discuss passionately about it. If you like a radio show that is entertaining, funny, passionate, you can still have basically the whole family listen to it. They're actually pretty clean. Tune in. You won't be disappointed. If anything, after listening to these two, you'll realize your family isn't that bad after all.
No, still won't make my family look good. No.
No. Maybe you won't have to hoard if you list. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on WatsonandWatson.com.
Apparently, it has curative properties to
listen. Check out our pal Johnny.
Yeah.
Special thanks to comedian Larry DeFelice for his contributions for this week's show. Larry was the humming. Larry's a great comedian. You can see him this Friday and Saturday at Wisecrackers in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Wisecrackers Comedy Club in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And Friday the 19th and 20th. At the Comedy Works in Bristol, PA. Also, special thanks to Bonnie McFarlane.
Yes.
We really enjoyed having her on the show. Please look for her film, Women Aren't Funny, and follow her on Twitter at Bonnie McFarlane. Pip, does Mr. Helix have anything of import?
Yes, he has a lot of landscapers to yell at. But besides that, he's not playing this week.
Oh, right? There'll be no Helix sightings.
No.
Thursday, April 11th, I will be hosting game night at Arturo's Tavern in Mahopac, New York. The games start at 7 p.m. For info, call 845-621-3836. 845-621-3836. Oh, shit, that just reminds me. I forgot to do something.
That's on the island, isn't it?
No, it's Westchester. I don't know.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's not that far. It's an hour from here. Friday, April 13th, I'll be in Friday, April 12th, I'll be somewhere in Port Jefferson.
Okay.
I was supposed to get the information for that. Saturday, April 13th, 2013. I'll be at IJ Cannes American Grill for what might be one of the most awkward shows I've done in a long time.
Oh, dear.
Located in the Creekside Shopping Center in Winchester, Virginia. If I'm not back, something went down. I'm either in jail or I'm dead. So if there's no show on Tuesday.
Well, we'll have the suspect in hand.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe.
So it could be very interesting.
Okay.
Number is 540-667. You know, really, doing two things at once, I am not good at tonight.
No, you can't do that.
All right, I'm going to try this. I don't even know why I'm doing it. They told me the show's sold out, but I told them I'd plug it anyway.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm a big star.
Yes.
You're the Davin of Davin's Den? Yes, I am. We're not interested. All right.
Now, was that other Davin? Because there's so many.
Exactly. One more time, this freaking number. 540-667-9995.
Okay.
Go. Check it out. IJ Cans, American Grill. It's going to be fun. This has been very enjoyable. I've enjoyed this show.
Good. Cool.
Good. You seem surprised. Holy shit. You enjoyed this train wreck?
Yeah. It's like, really? Okay.
Thank you for all the people hanging out in the chat room. Thank you for everybody Facebooking and texting and chatting.
Coming to our aid.
Well, not really.
Busting our balls,
More like just letting us know.
Coming to our aid was a euphemism for busting our balls.
Yes. But thank you all for taking an interest.
Yes.
It does make us feel that somebody's listening.
Warm and fuzzy. No, not really.
Exactly. Just like my balls. Anyway. Anyway, if you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, keep on listening. We'll see you next week.